Okay. What's poppin'?
Hello.
What's poppin', people? Drew and Mike are on the air. Mike Clark is here.
I am. I'm here, and so are you. That's a good thing.
Yep, fifth time in a row.
Yeah,
we made our appointment. Don joins us, and Jay, and Joey's here, too.
That's right. That's a full house, ladies and gentlemen.
Social media's rocking. We're getting it up there. I want to call this Marie Clark, this poor 89-year-old lady.
No relation, well, by the way.
Yeah, I didn't think there was.
Yeah, but you always have to say it just because it's so corny. Remember when he has the same name? Any relation?
How many Clarks have we bumped into in the course of this show, though? It's almost amazing, isn't it? I mean, I knew it was a common name, but it's a lot more common than I ever dreamed.
I know. Me too, actually.
Poor Marie, 89 years old. She's got this lovely shih tzu she's had for 9 years. She's in love with the dog. As you know, that relationship with a dog. You and I have powerful relationships with our dogs.
Brother, yeah.
And this dog gets mauled to death by a German shepherd.
Oh.
Was sitting in a hot van for 2 hours and was angry, apparently.
Oh, God.
In fact, she doesn't even blame the dog. She blames the owner for it. But fortunately, there's a great story in the paper today about how she just was given an 8-year-old Maltese named Romeo. And she loves little Romeo. Romeo slept with her in the bed the first night. She thought he'd be sad missing his previous owners, but it's a match made in heaven between Marie and Romeo.
Oh.
So I, as dog lovers, I felt we needed to.
What a happy ending.
Give Marie a buzz and congratulate her on Romeo and share her sad story,
darling.
Too. I mean, what a tragic. I mean, God, can you imagine the trauma for that gal to watch that dog get killed like that?
I can't even imagine that. Give me a breath. That's just brutal.
No, I cannot imagine. I literally can't.
Oh, my.
I hate thinking about anything.
Dolly's a clone of Bella.
What's that?
Bella.
Bella?
My dog. It looks like that.
Who's a clone?
Look at it. It looks exactly like Bella.
My dog. Oh, Dolly does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
the original dog.
Right.
Yeah. Damn sure does.
I mean,
wow.
Wow.
Do those dogs always look that familiar? Are they interchangeable?
It must be the cut.
Before we get to Marie, a couple things. I don't know if there's a lot of talk online about Paul Simon's performance of Bridge Over Troubled Waters last
night. Yeah, I know.
Did you see it?
It hurt.
It was bad. It was really bad. Yeah. I seriously think part of the problem was because as soon as I saw him and I knew that people were criticizing it and I was looking it up to hear it, I mean, isn't that terrible of me to want to rubberneck at the scene of the crime, but I couldn't help it. I knew something was wrong. I was like, I'm looking at him going, I know this is going to suck. It's going to be every bit as bad as people say. And I couldn't figure out why is it the way he looks? He does look kind of off, but then I realized he didn't have his guitar. He was just singing, you know? It was one of those weird, you know how certain people are supposed to have a guitar in front of them?
Oh, yeah, there are some people that just have to. Whether they're going to play it or not, they got to have it.
I've never seen him without a guitar before.
Yeah, that's right.
So are you cutting him slack because he didn't have his guitar? Is that why
he sounded so bad?
Okay.
I just think that was part of it. Because I've seen McCartney without a guitar on a few occasions, and that always looks weird, and I always think he sings. I don't think he's the same performer when he doesn't have his guitar.
That's right.
So, anyway, just my 2 cents on that.
He's got to have his guitar.
What a clusterfuck with another email debacle in the Democratic Party. And they sent that chick packing. Did they ever send her packing? Any thoughts on opening night? I don't know how much you guys watched.
Of the Democratic
Party? DMC?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like, here we go. It's going to be what it is. And with Hillary and company and all the great excitement. And
definitely a different tone.
Whole different deal.
Bill's talking tonight, and it's funny that Bill's history with Hillary is he's really been a shit campaigner for her. He's never helped her.
He doesn't want it. I don't think he wants to help.
Maybe that's it.
We've heard that.
I wonder about that.
That's been in the pipeline as well.
Down and dirty. I mean, he's put half ass.
We've heard that. In fact, the word is supposedly that they are politically different in many respects, and he doesn't like the sort of thing she stands for, nor her him.
He prefers to receive.
Yeah, maybe.
I was watching old clips of them.
From cigars and such.
When they were first running for president, when he was first running for president, and they were pointing out how many times the co-presidency was mentioned, which if you remember that, I mean, it's almost incredible to think about, but they were talking about how two for the price of one. every time the co-presidency was mentioned, it was her. He never said the word co-presidency. He never said two for the price of one. She said it.
Of course.
It would be pretty cool to see him as the first man. I mean, that's the only reason I want Hillary in the office.
That would be funny. It could be very amusing. Well, you know he's going to be banging chicks. There's no way.
Oh, yeah. He'd never be around. He'd be out tearing up.
And how many of these people are they going to understand this, or are people going to – is there going to be a giant element out there that's going to be, oh, wait a minute, what's going on? What's going on? There's all this sex. There's all this crazy stuff going on in the White House with Bill just bumping into every chick he can get his hands on. I mean, if he picks up where he left off.
I think Bill's a little more discreet than that.
If he picks up where he left off, really, see, his health really doesn't look all that great, but all he's got to do is have his dick operating. That's all he needs.
No, you're right.
You know, but if he picks up where he left off, I don't see how he couldn't. I don't know.
I'll tell you, reading Gary Burns' book, I didn't realize there was a lot more than Monica Lewinsky going on, but apparently there was some other shit going on, like specifically Mondale's kid, Eleanor Mondale, who was hot.
Smoking.
Man, was she hot. He walked in on him making out with, he and two other guys, a cook and some other dude, walked in on Clinton making out with Eleanor Mondale.
Wow. And what's going to happen when the first time they walk in and see Hillary just making out and fingering some
Elizabeth Warren?
So with some chick.
That's pleasant.
I know. I'm telling you, what happens when somebody finds him in the pool, you know?
That reminds me. I just ran into
this. Could happen.
It could. Hey, we don't know.
Yeah.
I just ran into this list of women talking about the biggest lies they ever told in bed. This is really grisly. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be because a lot of it's embarrassing stuff. Like this one chick said she told her boyfriend that it hurt because she thought she was going to fart. She wanted to stop.
Oh, Jesus.
But there's a number of other ones that are.
Oh, that's nice.
This guy wanted to pick this one chick up, like to shove her against the wall, you know, and nail her like that. And she's like, no, don't, because she thought she was too fat to pick up.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them are really
not too fat to pick up.
Almost sad, and some are just downright brutal. But let's stand by for that, because we should get Marie Clark on the line and congratulate her on 8-year-old Romeo, who now is part of the Clark home. No relation to Mike Clark, of course.
No way.
But Maria is a delightful 89-year-old who went through the horrible trauma of losing 9-year-old Dolly, her beloved Shih Tzu. Of course, she had that picture of the two of them. It's like a
glamour shot.
You get the family, the family glamour shot every year. She has the shot of her and little Dolly. Cute picture.
Probably on the Christmas card.
Yeah, probably on the Christmas card. Oh, line busy. Oh, she's a hot interview.
Wow.
People are all over Marie. I wonder how many. I was thinking about that today. I was like, you know.
No call waiting? Come on.
When I saw the story, I said, this is for our show. I know it is, but I couldn't help thinking, I wonder how many shows would actually call Marie. And I think it's probably a solo deal. I don't think anyone else is going to make a big to do over Marie. But I'm happy to. And while we're killing time, the Chelsea Bruck story, which is really one of the horrible things in the last few years here. This girl goes to a Halloween party. She's 22, prime of life. And what do you know? She never goes home. And everybody knows there's some kind of foul play. As much as you search for her and hope for the best and beg her to come home and all that. And finally, they stumble into this Daniel Allen Clay, who, I don't know, did anybody see him arraigned yesterday? Anybody happen to see him in court?
No.
Yeah.
He's told the judge he didn't want any bail, or he didn't want bond, which is quite rare. Yeah. And first of all, I don't think he needed to say that. I think it would have been up to his attorney, but he... And I didn't know what that was all about. First of all, you're not getting bond, dude. You might as well forget about that. You didn't need to say that. But I wondered, his girlfriend, who... Boy, no, I'm not going to dump on the girlfriend. His terrible. His girlfriend was on TV the day before telling the news that she had talked to him and that she had begged him to tell her the truth. You know, if you did it, just tell me because I love you, blah, blah, blah. And he had said, yes, I did it, but it was an accident. So she seemed to be trying to plead for some kind of mercy for him or, you know, hopes of maybe some kind of a potentially lighter sentence. Doubtful, though. He has souvenirs. Sick. Chelsea Bruck's shit.
Unreal.
really? In a backpack or something. I know, isn't that incredible? Oh,
God.
Trophies. So obviously that's not an accident or rough sex gone wrong. You don't save things from something like that. And you probably call the cops anyway if there's an accident. So he's full of shit. He tried to say that she wanted to have sex and she wanted it rough and things got out of hand. And her friends and family say, no, we know what happened. She didn't want sex and he raped her and he killed her. And it's blunt force trauma to the head. And that doesn't happen in an accident.
Too bad she didn't have those excuses.
I don't know how much help they would have been, Don, but it's a great thought. Wonderful thought. Had she been armed, maybe.
Nice thought.
I don't know how impacted Daniel Clay would have been.
Let's see if we can pick
nice
one out.
Nice uplifting thought.
Would be appropriate.
But, I don't know if this is funny. I always notice shit like this. Actually, Mike Clark, you always notice pictures in the paper much more than I do.
I usually do, yeah.
It cracks me up the way you do that.
I do, yes,
But they keep using the picture of her dressed as Poison Ivy for the Halloween party.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a shitty picture of her. Because I've seen her regular pictures, and I just want to go to the newspapers and say, please stop using the Poison Ivy picture. The girl is cute. It's something like they're mocking her or something. It's a stupid costume, and she's making a silly face. Can you just use a regular picture, please?
No.
Boy.
You got it over there? Let me see it.
You know, I've got the... It's funny that... I have it somewhere else here. That way, I'll find it.
Okay.
I mean, it's not that the costume wasn't good. It's just that she's making a goofy face.
Right,
and she's
tried
a couple
right.
pops before
yeah.
she took
oh, count
picture.
On that.
Count any on luck that. With Marie, by the way?
Still busy.
No.
God, flapper jaws.
Could she be? Is it? Could that be her way of getting rid of us?
Could be, but I think it's more likely the fact that she loves to talk.
I agree with Mike.
I was going to say, yeah, Joey had a lengthy conversation with her.
Well, there you go.
Joey prepares for Marie Clark.
Did you burn her out?
What was the conversation like with Marie?
Well, she's definitely a dog lover. Very happy with Romeo.
Good. I'm glad.
Romeo. I think she was excited to know that. Mike, you have a Maltese.
Yeah.
She'll be even more excited to know that Don also has a Maltese.
Oh, man.
Don is a Shih Tzu, actually.
Shih Tzu, sorry. Yeah, and she also knows about Mags and Layla, so she's well-versed on the dog population here in this show.
Yeah.
So she knows that she
loves the mix.
In the company of many a dog lover.
Boy, that's right up her alley, really, with the Shih Tzu and the Maltese.
I can't believe she already forgot about... I mean, imagine if Layla or Mags... Something tragic happened.
Ugh.
Romeo, would you give a shit about Romeo for, I guess if you were little, maybe 85 and needed
I know, you know, it's really tough. It's really tough like that. You know, you almost feel like you're cheating on your dog when you quickly get a replacement and you fall in love with them.
That's a big thing with
very
people
complicated.
Dog owners.
Yeah, you went through it.
I sure did, yeah.
It was hard time, too, didn't you?
Yeah, I really struggled with that.
How long before you got
a year.
The new dog?
It was a year?
Wow.
Yeah, it really was. Now, part of that was trying to find one that we liked. I mean, so it wasn't like all because of that necessarily, but... But, I mean, it was quite a while. And we did experience those feelings, which was really weird. It was like, because you see yourself, well, shake it. Come on, it's a dog. You know, and you try to shake yourself off that.
Oh, they're such a part of the house.
Sounds so corny, but on the other hand, it's just like they are such a part of the family. You greet them the first thing in the morning and say goodnight the last thing of the day. And they're just an intimate part of the family. And as such, you have this relationship that you have with these dogs. And really, 15 years with an animal, that's a long time to be with a dog and that tight, that close. And so there is an element where you feel like, you know, you're going off and hooking up with another person too quickly.
Yeah.
Like, really? You let this... But then people are going to accuse you of having an affair. I don't think so. Well, you've been seeing this dog for 4 months.
That's one of those things.
You haven't been seeing this dog for 4 months before your dog died.
It's obviously silly, but it's not silly. You have a relationship with a dog that is far beyond what most people could ever imagine.
Yeah.
But if you're a dog person, you know. You get it.
Yeah, but you definitely feel guilty that
Mike was pretty stressed out because, you know, what was your pet's name? Well, she was older, mellow, and then you get this crazy puppy. Remember, it was biting you. You couldn't sleep.
Oh, God. Oh, man. Oh, I know. At one point, Don was going to take Penny off my hands.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
There was some trying to unload Penny?
Yeah.
It came up. It came up. It came up.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was a period there where it was real dark.
But Penny's in good standing now, isn't she?
Oh, yeah. Now she's...
You seem like you're nuts about the dog.
No, we absolutely love her.
I think Don's bringing up the... Or rather, Jay's bringing up the Poison Ivy picture over there.
Yeah, it was in her first few weeks up here. And she's a Southern gal, came from Alabama. Southern Belle. She's a Southern
Belle. Via first class.
She came from Alabama? Did she really?
Mike flew her Delta.
Flew her up here. Brought up on Delta Airlines.
Did you find her online?
Yes. My sister found her, actually.
Really?
Yeah, which was all online, yeah.
That's funny.
And that was really nice. And they sent you videos and, darling. But... I wasn't
there aren't any dogs in Michigan, apparently.
Yeah.
Not good enough.
But you tend to compare the two. That's the other thing you feel guilty about.
Yeah, that's bad.
Compare dogs. Bonnie wouldn't have done this. Bonnie wouldn't have bit me like this. That's bullshit. I don't know if we're going to like
this
dog.
Was the dog just nipping? I mean, it was one of those things?
I mean, it was beyond nipping. It was like really biting.
You know, those needle puppy teeth.
Little
ankle biters.
Oh, man. And then everybody was like, oh, well, you know, that's what they're teething, you know. And she's, you got to understand, in dog years, she's at the two-year stage of a human kid, you know.
Do you see the poison ivy picture?
Terrible, too.
That's the poison ivy picture in front of you. That's poison ivy, which that's the picture I think is kind of just not, shouldn't be out there.
Kind of a cheesy picture.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought.
At least.
And she takes a cute picture, too.
Yeah.
You know, her real picture is she's just a good-looking 22-year-old girl.
And yeah, yeah.
Just kind of felt like, let's let her be at her best.
Yeah, she's got her head thrown back. Looks like she's taking a few pictures in her day, too.
Yeah, it just looks like a bad selfie.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is. Is that a giant glass of wine?
Angel's going to ask, what is that big, huge, is that her genie bottles you go back in there when it's time to go to bed?
I thought it was a bowling ball.
Yeah, what is that?
It looks like a big glass of wine. I don't know.
Yeah, it does.
It's like a test tube, though.
I think it is, because around the edge you can see that there's little bubbles.
It's just too many questions about the picture right off the bat.
Yeah. But yeah, I can't, I'll be interested to talk to that gal. About that, but you do feel guilty about my dog wouldn't have done that. My dog wouldn't have done this. My dog wouldn't have done this. And she would have never bit me like that. But you never bit. She never was so mouthy, mouth. This one, everything's with the mouth.
So has the dog stopped biting? Did it grow up?
Most of that is gone. There's a little bit there, I must say, but most
part of her
gone.
Unique personality.
Yeah.
Marie Clark, I'm getting concerned because she's got to eat dinner with the family at a certain time, and if she doesn't stop clapping her trap with whoever clapping with, I mean, to get down on her, but is she still busy?
So does Pete.
Can't you hit operator and break in?
Oh, that's so funny. Do you remember doing that as a kid? Did you ever do that?
Oh, God, yeah.
My friends used to do that to my mom, talking about selling her.
We did it once. We were trying to get some, like, an eighth guy for a basketball game or something, and we declared it to be an emergency.
Definitely
and so
state of emergency.
Everything was fine. They were about to write to break in on the phone call and everything. And then she says, what's the emergency? And my friend Alec was on the phone. He goes, well, he's just about to get in a plane. And if he leaves on the plane, then he just freaked out and hung up. And of course, the phone rang immediately. The operator called. Is this the person wanting to break through? And I'd pick up the phone. I was like, yes, we were trying to get through. And she said, I think that I'd like to talk to the adult of the home. And I said, well, this is the adult.
Did your voice get real deep?
Yeah, I was trying to act cool already. And she goes, no, I think I'll call back later. And she did. She called Johnny's mom later and bitched her out.
Well, we used to talk about back then. We used to talk about those party lines and how there used to be those party lines.
I can't believe those really existed. I never experienced that.
That was a ball. That was a lot of fun back then. They had those sorts of things.
Well, neighbors sharing phones.
Yeah, and then it would have to be like, how cheap are you? Are you so tight with fucking money that you got four or five, six people on the phone line, for God's sake?
I wish we could get some kind of a comparison on how much people were actually saving by having a party line.
I know. I wonder if there's ever a thought of starting something like that up again. Because, boy, that went away, and I haven't heard anything about it again.
I was talking to somebody about it, because we used to joke about it on the air all the time, and somebody said that it was more of a thing with kids, like if you want to have a second line for your kids, right. You could share it with the neighbors.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I still thought it's stupid.
I know, very stupid. Yeah, yeah, very stupid. And you know, Juna, have you been getting this bullshit? Is it Edison or Consumer Energies where they're trying to get everybody really competitive about their electric usage. So every couple of months they send you how much power you're using.
Oh, yeah, the usage, yes.
And then compared to the neighbor. Yes. I can't believe how competitive
what?
People oh, yeah. are getting.
Compared to your neighbor?
Yeah, people look at that and they go, oh, bullshit. I'm not
trying to make
it.
You look bad, you know? Like,
yeah.
Too much. Well, they recommend that app. There's a streaming app, DTE and Mishcon.
So you do you guys use more than your neighbor?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, of course.
I knew you did.
Oh, yeah.
I knew Don did. I don't know about Mike. Do you use more
oh,
than your neighbor?
Oh, yeah. But you know what? Here's the thing.
It's
but
a violation, actually.
I'll tell you this, though. I nailed those motherfuckers because we were gone for a whole fucking month, right?
So it's caught
like,
up.
I turned that goddamn thermostat down. It's like I'm gonna whoop my neighbor's ass, and I turned that motherfucker down only because I knew they were tracking me, man. I shut down the wall. I cut everything way back.
Have you gotten the message yet that shows
yeah,
how much?
Yeah, it says I did more than the neighbors. Like, oh fuck ooh. You.
Well, you were gone.
Yes. Fuck you.
That's a red flag. Yeah,
yeah. That's time to make a call to a supervisor.
Well, that tells me what I thought from the very beginning. That's all they do. I mean, I'll bet you if you were to go to all of your neighbors and everybody would look at their bills, I'll bet you would find that everybody's being told that they use more than their neighbor.
It's a scam. It is.
I absolutely believe that, Don.
Because they get rebates, I'm assuming, right? Federal.
They encourage you into 5-star appliances
right.
and all that shit.
And they get a kickback from the government.
That's right. That's right.
I've had this happen multiple times where months where I wasn't even home or I wasn't home for a couple weeks and I found that the bill didn't change at all. The water bill didn't change. The electric bill didn't change.
Yeah.
It was like, wait a second. How could I possibly use as much if I was gone for half the month? That's
right.
Bullshit.
That's right.
It's just, I don't know. I'm not big on conspiracy theories, but that's, I don't know. It's just whenever you're dealing with a monopoly, which a municipality
right.
tends to be.
Yeah.
I just feel like
it's a big scam.
Isn't it amazing?
Get into utilities and look out.
Isn't it amazing what they're pushing now to get the usage to go?
Oh,
I know it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Why? Because we're all using too much.
Too much.
Oh, to stoop to that, you know, and cut way back and you know, have your stuff go on and off to reduce usage.
Well, what kind of a business is that where they, I mean, wouldn't you think they'd be encouraging you to use more? I mean,
you would
come
think.
On, it's a business for
that's
crying
right.
out loud.
That's
they
right.
Get, they get an incentive from the government. That's what it is.
I really wish that was done private. I wish it was all privately. Wouldn't we be so much better off if any? What cannot be done better privately?
I know.
I don't think there's anything.
Anything. That's right.
And everything. I know these municipalities hate it when, you know, or the unions always get upset, like, oh, look at all the jobs lost. But, you know, I understand that part of it, but seriously.
Yeah, that's right.
If it's just slop, that's not the way of the future anyway.
Everything always runs better when private.
Yeah, yeah. Unefficient
every
government.
Time. Every time. That's right.
Okay. Is Marie still on the phone?
Still busy.
Oh, my God.
How about watering your lawn? We get a citation if we water our lawn during the day.
Have you got one?
Right? That hasn't happened to me yet.
Not yet.
Oh.
I water it.
Are you on the wrong days ever?
I water it whenever they're set. I don't know.
Which is probably every day.
Are you on a program? Yeah. Or just, oh, okay.
You water it until
you water
until
every day.
I'll be forwarding the citation to the company that programmed the.
You know when you've set that zone properly when there's a slight flood in that area.
Except for I found out my neighbor knocked on the door and said we were watering the street.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, it's funny.
That'll do it.
In Phoenix,
set somebody off.
That tells me it's just about right.
So many days I was getting up and getting ready to go for work, and that's when the sprinklers would go off. And any time it was raining there, which isn't very many days, it's like, oh, there's the sprinklers. And it's raining, of course.
Yeah.
But you have to set the thing on rain
mm-hmm.
if you want it to not, you know, just go off the way it normally would.
Yeah.
Okay, so since apparently Maria's got a toot, or she's just clapping her trap.
Yeah, that jaw's going to be way too sore to eat dinner.
Exactly.
Wow.
She may need a rest and gestation period before
we can talk
to her.
A
GMJ
could be her
treatment.
Therapist. So.
I'm thinking maybe
GMJ
we should call.
GMJ treatment.
Should we call the realtor selling the Fountains of the Lambs house? Is she East Coast?
Yeah, Pennsylvania.
Okay. I'm just wondering if it's going to be too late to be taking a call for that. She's cool.
She's a realtor. Okay. She don't care what time.
Diane. Do you guys remember that much about the house before we call? Should we? Anybody want to canvas on the? I mean, I remember the basement, of course, the pit in the basement. I mean, that's all I want to remember. But what about the rest?
It was a dark home. It was, you know, old. Just
basement, normal upstairs.
Anything particularly unique, though, in terms of the movie and the resident, which was what was his name? Buffalo Bill. Buffalo Bill, wasn't his name?
Yeah, that. Yep.
Like quite a creep.
A little bit.
That was that's when that movie I thought got utterly fascinating. Because it was building to that point, and then that guy was really out there. But they wanted 300 G's for this house?
Yeah, they didn't even because they didn't get close.
No. I mean, how often does that happen where people go, oh, it's the blank house, you know, it's the Exorcist house, or it's the Home Alone house, and so you should pay an extra couple hundred grand for it. It's like, oh, how cool to be able to say you live in the Home Alone house. But no, I'm not paying a dime extra. Are you out of your mind? It's still a house.
Hate that.
You're not going to run
tours. Worst example of all is Madonna's house. Oh, yeah. God, what a joke.
Oh, Rochester, they tried to get a bunch of money for that.
God, what a total joke. Oh, that house, the biggest shithole. There's nothing about that house at all.
Mike Clark was in it.
That's right. Yeah, so I can tell you for a fact it was a shithole. And VH1, their producers would call me over and over and over again. I understand that you were in Madonna's house. Well, I was friends with her brother. All right. But you knew Madonna.
Wait, who called you?
VH1.
Really?
And they would call me again and again and again and again, trying to get me to give them a tour of the house because it was for sale.
Wow, that's hilarious.
And share memories. Except I told them, I don't have any memories, you idiot. You people, what do you want me to do?
You didn't share any memories with them?
They wanted me, I should have done it.
Were they offering to pay?
I just should have made
time?
It up.
Were they offering to pay for your time?
Valuable publicity for the program.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's what you said then.
No doubt.
That's exactly what you said.
Hi, this is Diane Wilk with REMAX Select Realty. In the Donaldson.
You're the lady in the balloon?
Kindly leave your name, phone number, and the reason for your call, and I'll get back to you.
You want to just pick it up, Jay, and leave her a message?
I want a balloon ride.
Feel free to text me or email me at.
Until if it's sold, we still want to talk to her.
Get her on her cell phone.
I want a balloon ride.
Bummer, man. Cut it out, Wilk.
Oh, man.
I think they got $195 for the house. They put it on for $300. That's a tad over.
Imagine
price.
That sales
Ouch.
Pitch. When, you know, you meet with the realtors and they throw, you know, they give you the pitch before you sell the house.
Oh, God.
Which is, it's the Silence of the Lambs house. Oh. Okay.
It's never the same. The Amityville Horror house. It's always, God, those homes, right?
That's funny. I just saw the Amityville Horror House. That's been sold multiple times.
That's another one. That's a big one, yeah.
But the thing is, there's the real house, and there's the house that the movie was shot in.
Yeah, oh.
So, of course, the real house, nobody wanted to buy that house.
Yeah.
But the movie house, I think there was actually interest in it, but I don't think they got any additional dough for
anywhere.
It.
Oh.
So.
Wow.
Well, before I get to the... because I want to read these. These are the lies women tell in bed. It's really funny. Stacking stories a bit. Court rules upskirting is legal in public places in Georgia after the Court of Appeals rules that shop employees caught filming up customer skirt did not break the law. In other words, in Georgia, they had no law against upskirting. So when someone was arrested for upskirting, they had to let them go because there was no law. They tried to write it up under something else, but the judge basically said no. It's you got to pass a law.
What's wrong with starting it now? I mean, let's get it rolling.
Upskirting?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure it's probably
I'm with you.
Flying like nobody's business in Georgia.
With you, Don.
Now it's basically legal in the state of Georgia.
It's so funny to see. I went. That's probably the report I saw where this guy was walking along and just in a heartbeat he'd clearly practiced at a time or two. Because the way he was able to just
tell me the guy here that got nailed.
The way he just walked up and just put that camera right on it, he went poof.
Is it the one that she just noticed? Like, she like noticed a, the second
right
one
right away.
Yeah,
oh,
and she
yeah.
got all pissed.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't she? The one where she was following him?
Yeah, she chased him outside
with her.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
It was hilarious.
Embarrassing, man. You can't look like a bigger creep, can you?
No. Oh, that is just the
you
worst.
You look like a bigger
pervert. He was beelining out of there.
But he was stupid. That guy was so blatant. It was like,
oh, I know it.
I'm getting a shot of this chick's pussy.
Oh, I know it.
I don't give a damn what anybody thinks.
You know what's gonna happen? 9.9 out of 10 times, it's going to turn out she's wearing really stupid panties.
Granny panties, and
when he sees the picture, it'll be a bunch of flubbery buttocks. Just kind
so,
of
Mike, you're against
into,
it because more than likely you'll get lousy panties.
I don't think you're going to get a good shot.
So there's a standard. There's like a standard, and you can't do it in less.
Yeah, Don, if I thought that I could more than likely, if I could. Get a shot and have it be an open, beautiful pussy. Just a great.
So, like red, white, and black thong.
Really nice.
Brazilian
yeah.
Thong.
Yeah. Just a real nice, as the English would say, a real nice cunt in there.
Oh,
a nice cunt.
That's nice.
The English like to say cunt.
Yeah, but they call it, it's not typically used that way. It's always, I mean, guys call guys cunts in England.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
It's a really power, it's where it used
that's true.
Strictly for that.
This pussy. This is true. What's the origin of pussy, by the way? God, that doesn't line up, does it? Pussy.
I don't know. It's a little better than a couple other words.
Yeah, but the people that invented these words, it's just, I don't know. I don't get it.
You sound like a goddamn pussy to me.
Yeah. Pussy just doesn't work for me. Really nothing works that they've come up with yet. So
how about vajayjay?
Our was part wimp and part pussy.
It's really funny to think of how the words vagina and penis were never heard on any kind of broadcasting ever. Until John Bobbitt.
Yeah,
was pretty much the turning point.
Yeah, that's right.
And then there were a few other stories that pushed it even further. Yeah. But before that, it was like, no, never, ever, ever. And I remember when we edited together a bunch of TV anchors, female anchors, of course, saying penis.
Yes.
It was all in relation to Bobbitt.
That's
and it
right.
was like people could not get enough of that. It was like, oh, my God, Dana Lewis said penis.
That's right.
Oh, my God, Carolyn Clifford, that's her that said penis. I just thought that was the wildest, craziest thing. And it was just like, you know, penis, penis, penis.
Yeah.
Penis, penis,
knowing
penis,
that you would never hear that anchor ever say that word, ever.
Never, ever, ever.
And
they were so uptight saying it at first.
Yeah, wrong, yeah.
So awkward.
Oh, very awkward. You wonder if when they were getting ready to do the... To do the news if they were actually in there going, penis. Penis.
It seemed like it.
Yeah, just to make it sound, I don't know, somehow. They want to sound relaxed but medical about it.
Some people just were not
comfortable with it.
They just were not ready to share the word penis with the world. Denise D'Adore. I mean,
yeah.
Beautiful, cute little Denise D'Adore saying penis to the world.
And now we know what it sounds like when she says the word.
Oh, many times.
Again and again. We know
she can't stop saying it.
That's right. She took a liking to it. She certainly did.
So am I to take the opinion that... Upskirt shots are typically very bad pictures.
I think they are. And those that I've seen, not that I've seen a lot, but those pictures that I have seen, I think the pictures are lousy. I think most of the time it just looks like a, I don't know, somebody's ass jammed in a bunch of fabric.
Yeah, you need a bird's eye, definitely a better shot.
It's really not fair.
You know what? If she's, if she's like at poolside and she's reading a book or something and her legs are apart.
Or maybe shooting pool, you know, kind of.
Yeah, yes. Recall with a bridge. She's got the bridge. She's using a bridge. A chick with a bridge.
You want it wide. You want a wide.
Wide, shot. Yeah. She's reaching real way across the table for that bridge
shot. If only women were prepared for their upskirt moment.
Maybe that's
they
what
would
it
provide
is.
A better picture.
They better start down in
Georgia.
Yeah,
maybe that's what it is. Jesus. But it's if you're, if they're like looking at bestsellers at the mall, and they're just kind of
so is that
perusing
an,
that, and you just come walk up there and go, poosh, poosh, while they're looking at bestsellers.
So is that an open season then in Georgia for all the...
Yeah, it is open season.
Yeah,
it's legal.
They're ready, man. They're
and that guy, by the way, that got busted in Michigan,
wow.
He got that first picture, you know, because they show you the video on the news when this guy got busted, and it's against the law in Michigan, thank God.
Thank God,
he got that first picture, and then it was like...
He came back?
It just wasn't good enough. He's like, I got to get a second one. And it was so stupid. It's like, dude, greed kills. You're in the free and clear. She's a good-looking girl, too. You got your picture. Just go away.
That's the problem with this digital photographs these days. You what? Can look at you can look at your work too quick, you know.
He could not have possibly looked at it because he did the second one so fast, but he hit her leg when he did it.
Oh,
he hit her leg with his hand.
Oh, so what
he
knew. Was he getting excited or something?
Alerted her, and she heard the sound of the camera too, and she turned around.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the other thing: turn off the camera sound.
Maybe he told her, hold still. We need
I think there's just enough of a something that that she heard it.
Well, there was another thing. There was such a flash on that camera. I mean, some of those people, the flash goes off. It's like their whole skirt lights up underneath.
Well, that's that classic ride.
You've seen that? Yeah.
When we went from Boston, when I was working at WAAF, and we took a trip to see the Bruins and the Canadiens play in Montreal. It was a bus ride, and we had to cross the border and everything. And oh my God, when they stopped the bus 20 miles short of the border,
yeah.
The shit that left that bus. Geez,
the beer barge.
But the back of the bus got so bombed that any chick that had to walk to the bathroom got upskirted,
got an upskirt shot.
And you would just see this giant, the whole skirt would light up. I mean, it was really, I have to admit, I was laughing my ass off. And after a while, the girls weren't even fighting. It was like, what's the point? Who cares?
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, just
get your
into
picture.
It. Just put up with it. Just like what normally goes on with women, just like, oh, just lay there and take it.
And then some asshole started just like banging the door open, and then you see like 8 flashes go off.
Yes.
They shove the door open.
The paparazzi shot.
That's right.
Guys in booths.
Oh, God.
So did you get a shot? Did you ever catch
I did not have a camera.
We just know that, too.
Participating.
The minute they brought that technology in, it was right away, I remember, we said, like, well, look out. Here it comes.
Yep,
beginning
here it comes.
Of the end.
It's never used for the reasons why it's supposed to be used. Ever.
Okay, quotes, lies women tell during sex. They just printed a few of them. I think they're pretty strong. Whenever I say harder during sex, I don't normally mean it. I just assume it turns guys on.
Oh, no, yeah, just ram them harder.
Sorry to burst your bubble. Whenever I fall asleep during sex, I just tell my boyfriend I'm too high. In reality, he's just terrible in bed and I get bored.
Oh.
Hopefully people won't fall asleep too often. My boyfriend asked me how many people I've slept with while we were having sex. Well, why would you ask somebody while you're having sex? It's really stupid.
That's, I wouldn't. No, that question needed to be edited out.
I had to lie, but I feel bad sounding like a slut.
Well, of course.
Yeah, I don't know how. Why do people even ask that question? Isn't it just a bad question to ask anyone?
Yeah, anyone.
What is the number? 3 or 7.
You know, we did a survey once on that. We're calling our listeners.
Yeah, what number is too many?
Yeah, there was a national.
Somebody had a great formula, too. Depending on how long you were single.
Right.
It was like 3 a year, you know.
Yes. Yeah, right.
It was years you were single.
That's right. There was a number that was.
And I'm not sure that was the formula. Okay. It was something like that. And,
Because
some of the older chicks were saying
they're
being labeled sluts because you know they'd been single a long time and they had a bigger number, but they said I've been single for 25 years. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, women are very sensitive about that number. Where at what point in time?
Well,
are they considered to be a little on the slutty side?
That's a shitty point of the relationship when that comes up.
Yeah.
There's the fear, too, that...
And yet the guy is a stud. That's what they resent, too. The guy, if he's like, 27 a month, it's like, wow, you really know your way around. You must really know how to have sex. You know, whereas with a chick, it's like, what a fucking whore.
Are you slut?
Well,
hopefully the guy has a higher number because most guys are just too insecure to deal with the chick having a higher number, regardless of the circumstances.
Right.
I have to lie and fake moan during sex with my boyfriend. He doesn't make me feel good, but I don't want to hurt his feelings. We got a lot of shitty sex going on here.
Come on, guys. Step
it
up.
Oh, man.
My boyfriend asked if I wanted a baby during sex. In the heat of the moment, I said yes, but really, I don't mean it. This could turn out badly. Again, why would you ask someone during sex, oh, baby, do you want to have a baby?
I guess he didn't want sex. Jesus.
Oh, man.
Awful.
That's bizarre.
Did you take a timeout?
Oh, man.
I started crying while having sex with my boyfriend, and I told him it was because I loved him so much. Really, I was thinking about how much I miss my ex.
Ooh.
That's a tough one. But nice line.
Yeah,
she was thinking about how much she loved him. And actually, it was how much you missed her ex. Wow.
Liar.
Boy, oh boy.
If only see that, and that ex probably will never know.
No.
Oh, my God.
No problem, because he'd be in there. He'd be all over that.
That's right.
During sex with my... Oh, boy. During... During sex with my boyfriend, I peed a little while riding him, and I lied and said I squirted. What a great lie. That's brilliant.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a brilliant lie, isn't it?
Oh, boy.
I squirted.
Oh, no.
The only problem is he's going to be asking her to do it again.
Yeah, really?
Oh.
You got to do that again. What did I do?
Oh, God.
She lied to my face.
Oh, here's a good one.
I told my boyfriend that not being able to get wet during sex was a side effect of my medicine. I lied.
Ooh.
God.
That sucks.
Brutal.
Okay. Well, I have a couple of ideas for him, maybe. Except he'll never know. He thinks it's the medicine.
I started my period while having sex with a guy. Blood was everywhere. I was too embarrassed to tell him, so I lied and told him I was a virgin. Oh.
She's a virgin. I wonder how old this chick was.
Oh. Oh.
It'd be a hell of a mess.
It's a crime. Is that like a crime scene?
I know. Isn't it awful when you think you've had some really nice, good old fashioned sex and realize
it
looks like a crime scene?
Ew, gross. It has.
That's so grisly.
It's like the vanilla cone dipped in chocolate at the.
Oh, God.
Oh, brother.
When I told my boyfriend that I had an orgasm during sex, I forgot to add April Fools. Oh, aren't you clever?
Oh.
Aren't you just so clever?
Stop it!
I'm not sure why people lie about that. Why not just, maybe ask for a better performance? Most people are pretty competitive. Might try and tweak it up a little bit.
No!
Step it up.
But
if you keep lying and he thinks he's knocking it out of the park, that's never going to get better.
God.
Last night I told my boyfriend he was hurting me during sex so he would stop. I really just had to fart.
Stop it!
Don't. Don't. It hurts. I wonder, she must have really had to blast one.
Oh.
Literally have to... make the whole thing just cease entirely. She must have some sort of, there was just some major blast coming. God, when I and I can't remember where I found this out. It might have been during Teen Mom for some reason. They might have been talking about this just during childbirth. Women that accidentally defecate.
Oh,
in childbirth, they, you know, the whole pushing,
accidentally,
pushing thing gets a little confused, and next thing you know, oops.
Oh.
Yeah, boy.
And so then that's the first thing the baby runs into is a big pile of steaming feces.
I don't think the baby usually comes right after it.
Without drag.
That would be most unfortunate if they came out together simultaneously.
Oh, wouldn't that be awful?
I don't think that happens.
Oh, good Lord. Thank God.
Still, that would be.
Oh, man.
Is the head out? What happened? No, actually.
Oh, man.
Come on, shithead, let's go!
Took a nice dump, though.
Oh, God. That'd be awful.
My boyfriend tried to pick me up during sex. I told him I didn't want to do that, but secretly, I just thought I was too fat to lift. Oh.
And who's responsible for cleaning up the shit, by the way?
I think the
orderly,
I don't think it's the doctor's job.
Yeah, no way. I didn't go to school to do that bullshit.
I don't think it's the husband's job.
Yeah.
I suppose there's probably some employee. There's some place on the food chain that would certainly know it was
for it.
Their job.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to clean this up.
Probably the girl, though, she's so offended herself. She's so embarrassed. She probably tells everybody, just get out of the room. I'll take it from here.
Yeah, that would be
I'll take care of this.
Blindfolded boyfriend during sex. Told him it would be fun and exciting. Shamelessly ate goldfish while riding him.
Oh. Wow.
What? Wait. What am I missing here? Oh.
Wait, what is it?
She just wanted to eat?
Yeah.
She just was hungry?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah, what'd you eat?
I told my boyfriend I loved him, too, during sex, but I lied. He said at first I didn't know what else to do.
He could have said, thank you. That's what JoJo said that in The Bachelorette. I forgot who it was. Somebody told her they were falling in love with her, and she thanked him. Because, you know, in The Bachelorette, you're not supposed to say you're in love until it gets down to the very end.
Thank you very little.
And by the way, they are getting down to the end. She dumped. I knew she was going to dump this guy. Jesus. Is it Chase? I think his name is Chase. So she's down to Jordan and Robbie. And there's been so much in Us Magazine, People, and all the rags about The Bachelorette, because JoJo was very popular on the previous show, and she became The Bachelorette because of that. And there's been some crazy shows. This Chad guy was the nuttiest, great. One of the nuttiest guys who's ever been on this show. Complete asshole. In fact, I think there's a show, is it tonight? That show when they all come back?
Yeah.
And ask questions. Is that tonight? I think it is tonight. Yeah, because I got a two-part thing this week. And I just saw him saying, what would I apologize for? And the whole room's just up for grabs. But
are they going to make him The Bachelor?
No way. No, I don't think so. I can't see him doing ratings. That. But the four guys, the four last guys all had really high hair. I mean, their hair was like a mile off their head. I don't know if that was just what she was into or if that's how all the guys look now. Yesterday
during sex, my boyfriend asked if I had other guys on the side. I lied and said no. It's not his business anyway.
What do you mean, you slut? You're sleeping with a guy? I mean, I don't know. I just, this whole business of having multiple sex, just juggling multiple sex partners, doesn't it seem like it has to blow up in your face?
Yeah, sure.
As much as everybody loves the idea, it sounds enticing, exciting, slutty, but...
Yeah, just a tad.
It'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. And be very careful with that number, though, once again.
Yeah. I just saw that picture of Jordan Rodgers there, and I can't get over how obsessed she is with Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron is, of course, the NFL MVP, and when Jordan told her that he and Aaron were estranged, she seemed, like, overly interested in, almost like, well, I got to fix this, you know, like... Hey, you know, you got an MVP NFL in the family. Oh.
Hello?
Is this Diane?
It is Diane.
Diane. Oh, you're selling the cells at the Lamb's house. We were calling you from our from our broadcast here in Michigan also.
Are you guys, like, drinking, like, way too early?
No, we actually, it's funny. We called the woman with the dog, and it's a long story. Anyway, we were expecting to call back from her, and then we called you also, and then, what do you know, you called back before she did. I should have realized it was one of you two, but anyway, how are you doing, Diane?
I'm fine.
Did you
dogs are fine, too.
I'm good. I'm glad to hear that. Did you sell the Silence of the Lambs house?
Yes.
You did. And let me ask you something. I'm really of mixed feelings here. I just can't figure out does it actually have additional value because it was this seminal house in this seminal movie, or does that not really mean any additional cash for the owners?
I don't know. It appraised, so, the appraiser doesn't care about the movie.
It wasn't a part of the marketing or anything?
The home appraised, so I would say it sold for what it was worth as a home. The buyer wouldn't have known about it had it not been for the movie, literally.
Wait, the buyer said it again?
The buyer would have not known about the home had it not been for the movie.
Okay.
So you didn't use that. Way, okay.
Well, that's how he found out about the home. He saw it online, and he wasn't particularly looking in that area. In fact, that was beyond his scope of where he was looking for a home.
Did you have any advertising that said, Silence of the Lambs house for sale? Or was it just was it marketed just like any other home that you market?
I put it in there.
You did?
I included it in there. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, yeah, it's kind of cool. I mean, having an iconic home is kind of fun, even if
Absolutely. And I mean, I had a little push-in sign by the driveway And somehow or another, I forgot to check it out. And I got a call on about the house the other day about somebody. You know, everybody wants to make it a B&B, you know?
A B&B.
Huh.
Yeah, you know, bed and breakfast. Yeah, with yeah.
Sure.
You know, which I think would be a great idea, but, you know, it's a little off the beaten path. For a bed and breakfast, you know, you have to have all sorts of other requirements when you start holding your house out to the public.
Oh, you gotta
get the hell out of my house.
And so I think that there would be a lot that you'd have to do. I mean, it's a house. It's not a public building. You know what I mean?
Now, as far as the house itself, you know, the one scene that I remember so well from the movie was the scene with the basement and the, you know, being put in the pit. What's her name? Foster.
Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster. Yeah, being stuck in that horrible pit. Is there? Can you tell where all that stuff took place in the house? I mean, obviously, I'm sure there's not a pit in the basement like that, but
the pit was done in a soundstage. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so
they told they would have done it there, but they couldn't film. They had to film from over top. They wouldn't have had the depth. You know how, like, when she was down in the pit,
sure,
they had to film from over top. But the house was where Jody went to, and the FBI was at the wrong house, and she was at the right house.
Right. Oh, no.
So, you know, if you look at the pictures of that scene when she comes in, I mean, it's the same house. The wallpaper's a little different. The furniture's a little different.
sounds like a fan.
Absolutely.
Sounds like it is
absolutely the same house. It's pretty amazing.
Sound like a fan. Silence of the Lambs fan, huh?
Yeah, were you a fan of the movie?
I've seen the movie. It was pretty scary to me. I'm not big into horror films, but it was pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not a big scary movie person either, but I have to admit, I thought that was a fantastic movie, and if I can enjoy a scary movie, that's definitely high on my list. I loved it.
Did you know that there's only been 3 movies that have won 5 Academy Awards? There's been about 25 movies have been...
Nominated?
Nominated, but only 3 movies won 5.
And is Silence of the Lambs one of them?
One of them, and so was One Flew Over to the Cuckoo's Nest. And the other one was, I want to say it was maybe A Day to Remember, which is an old movie.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that. But, yeah, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, I know, won a bunch of them. But that's amazing. It's one of only 3 to have won 5. Wow, a little movie trivia there.
You do a Google search on it, and you'll find out. It's pretty amazing. So, I mean, not only was it a great movie, but it was beyond great.
Did anyone complain when they entered the house and say, hey, where's the pit in the basement, Diane? What's going on here?
No, not at all. Most of the people that looked were looking at it for a home, I have to say. And again, even this person that bought it, they bought it because they wanted a home.
Right. Nobody was looking to make a Silence of the Lambs museum out of the house, in other words.
So you're pretty happy about the sell price? Did you went out?
The seller's happy with the sale price. The seller and that buyer were happy, so I'm happy.
It sold for what, $195, was it?
Yeah, yeah. Who do you represent? What paper or news media?
Does this story have an end?
We actually do what's called a podcast here in Michigan. It's Drew and Mike in Detroit, Michigan, and it's a podcast.
P-O-D, podcast.
Yeah, I don't know if you listen to podcasts, but it's like an internet radio show, basically.
Good luck with the podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is a great story. You've getting a lot of attention, and I'm sure that must have helped you sell the home. But I did see that you originally listed it for, was it $300,000? Was that what you tried to get originally?
That's what the seller asked to list it for originally. That's correct.
And did you tell him you're never going to get $300,000 for it?
Any conversations I had with the seller, of course, are confidential.
It's a big scam.
Same thing with the buyer. Sorry, guys.
I know. I watch Million Dollar Listing, though. Someone was curious about these conversations.
Yeah, it was a lovely.
Yeah, how were the comps? Did it do well compared to the comps?
Well, you know, what's interesting is during the listing period, and I had numerous offers that were more, but each one was contingent upon a buyer putting their home on the market and then selling it in order to purchase this one. And we would have had to have removed it off the market.
Oh, boy.
And the seller absolutely did not want to do that. So we just...
seller needed that money.
You know, waited for somebody. Well, why would you want to take a home off the market that's getting all this media attention? That just didn't make sense. And at the time, the one particular buyer, he didn't even have his home on the market. And we had no idea where he was going to price it, what his home looked like inside. We saw what it looked like when he bought it, but you just don't know.
It's crazy.
Some people have beautiful homes, and they maintain them well, and other people, they have...
beat up hardwood floors and
the house could be a disaster.
Smell of urine.
Faintest smell of urine.
Nope, you don't know. I agree. Anyway, it's a great story. I was excited to hear about the Sounds of the Lambs house. I'm glad you got the price you wanted. The buyers are happy, and it's a good deal of marketing.
Well, the buyer, it is a single man.
Nobody cares.
And the seller were happy.
You can disclose that. Oh, you can disclose that?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to show up in
What's
the...
What's his name?
His name is David. Got to dig up the rest of it. I mean, it'll be in the deed transfers because
We're just happy he's happy. That's the main point. And
today I just left him a message just because actually after the closing he went on vacation.
It's crazy.
And his furniture didn't arrive for another week. Just left a message just to
a
say,
week
hey.
Later.
Did you get
your 3% yet? Did you get your commission?
I was on both sides.
Oh, you got a double dipper. Congratulations. That's fantastic.
I worked really hard. I went out there and showed that home over and over and over and over again to a lot of different buyers. And then we had another young couple. They wanted to buy it. They had an offer of $250, wanted $2.25. But again, they were all contingent offers.
That's crazy.
Well, you can't.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
So many ways to dump out of something like that.
Wonderful, but if they never sell their home, you're nowhere.
Right. No, pointless. But anyway, it's still a great story, and we sure appreciate your time, Diane. Thanks so much for calling back. Sorry about the confusion about the dog.
Thank you.
You have a good luck with your career.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There you go. And she got a double dip on that.
Oh,
one.
Boy.
Got the buyer's commission, the seller's commission.
Wow.
I don't think she would have got that in. I was trying to terminate the thing, but man, she was determined. We knew everything about that transaction. She had an offer for $250.
$12,000, not bad.
Don, $250? Wouldn't you think it might be worth checking, waiting to see if they could sell that place?
I think. Shitty negotiator.
No, it's not. Is it really? Marie's on the phone?
It's ringing.
Oh, it's ringing.
Oh, hey.
She's not busy.
She can't talk.
She's going to be eating
wore out.
Who's on the phone?
Oh, there's my phone.
Yeah, she's breaking bread.
Phone lines are going crazy.
Allegedly, she and the family break bread at the top of the hour and...
Hello?
Oh, is that Marie? Is that Marie?
Hello?
Marie Clark?
Yeah.
Oh. Hi, Marie. It's Drew and Mike calling from our podcast here in Detroit. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, but it's supper time. Can I help you?
Oh, well, you know what? Maybe we should call you back after supper.
Well, my daughter's late and coming, so you can talk to me now. They were supposed to be here at 6.
Oh, I see.
Just call me. I won't be here till about 7.
Yeah, we were hip to all that, and we were hoping we wouldn't run into dinner, and fortunately, maybe we didn't, so...
What's for dinner?
Pot roast.
Ooh.
Pot roast.
I went to Bingo this morning, and I won $50, and so I threw everything in the pot, and it's all ready to go.
You say you won $50 on Bingo, bro?
Yeah, Bingo at Knights of Columbus.
All right. Good for you.
Been going there
for
the last 25 years. Every Tuesday, I have my own seat.
I didn't know Knights of Columbus had pots like that. $50, that's pretty sweet.
Oh, No, they go up to 350 if I had filled up my card.
How many cards do you play?
22.
That's a lot of
a player.
All over
for 89-year-old.
Good for you.
Pretty good, but it keeps my brain sharp. And
absolutely.
The dog gets me moving all the time.
Hey, we were calm because we are big.
Oh, no, here they are. They just drove up. She told me they wouldn't be here till 7 o'clock.
Well, we won't take a lot of your time. We were just wanted to call you because we're such dog lovers. We love our dogs to death, and we were so horrified about what happened to little Dolly, but we were so pleased to see that Romeo has come into your life, and you got this Maltese, and Mike has a Maltese, and so it was just, the story had a nice happy ending. We just want to congratulate you on the way things went and give you our thoughts, too, for little Dolly.
Did you want to interview me or not?
Oh, we want to talk to you for a few minutes if you had some time. How are things going with Romeo?
Oh, he's pretty good. He follows me around just like Dolly did. Aww. You know, I go to the bathroom and he's laying right there waiting for me.
Sweet.
He's taking care of his girl.
Yeah, he sleeps with me just like Dolly did, right in the crook of my legs. And so he's working out pretty good.
Now, it's unusual to get an 8-year-old dog that's a good dog, a trained dog. Now, were the previous owners, was there something a change in their life that they
Well, I'll tell you, he needs training. He kind of fiddles around here being a male. Yep, here comes my family. So I was hoping they wouldn't get here till 7 o'clock, but that's the way it's been on this phone. And Channel 2 just left. They've been here.
Oh, there we are again, late on the media train.
I want to save all the little dogs in this world.
There's Romeo.
Frisky little Romeo. Frisky little. Whoa. Romeo.
Romeo.
You got a watchdog, too, there.
Yeah, I do. He isn't trained yet.
You'll get him. You'll get him going in.
Yeah,
no
my dogs are really well trained.
He's
they never bark.
He's been in a cage like 10 hours a day, so I have to. I have a little job ahead of me.
Yeah. Now, how about the house training part? Is that? I mean, you going to train him with treats, maybe?
Oh yeah, I could train him. Yeah, I did Dolly too.
Oh,
he was pretty good.
Yeah, my dogs are so used to the treats they will not defecate or urinate anywhere but outside because they want that treat so badly.
Right, that's telling
them. It's like bribery.
So maybe it was the lack of training that was why they did not opt to keep 8-year-old Romeo.
Well, his wife was expecting a new baby. They were moving into another house. And they both work like 10 hours a day. I think they
weren't piddling in the new house.
Because they're hardworking people.
Houses stink.
And
I understand.
Do you have hardwood floors?
And I said to the man, all three of us were crying as I took the dog. And I says to him, well, I don't live too far. If you want to come and see the dog anytime or take him back, I said, just let me know.
Like weekends?
He says, no. He says, once this dog is gone, it's gone. Don't you come back here again because I love him too much. And I would miss him, and then we'd have to go all through this again.
He may really like the way his house smells now.
Fiddling all over. To me, too, you know.
Crazy.
Poor thing. He's a beautiful animal.
No, he's cute.
He's such a nice guy.
He had my picture and the dog in the paper this morning.
I saw the picture of you and Dolly in the paper, and you and Romeo both.
Romeo is in the paper this morning.
Yes,
in the
Free
Press.
Yep. But that was such a cute picture of you and Dolly, and then it was nice to see you and Romeo, too, and we were just we're just so happy for you, Maria. I'm glad the story took a nice turn at the end because it just sounded like such a horrific end for little Dolly. What a sad, sad story.
Yeah, it's fantastic because it seems like it's deja vu because one got died and got killed viciously, though. That was horrific.
And now you did not blame the German Shepherd because the German Shepherd had been locked up in a hot vehicle for a couple hours, and you thought,
it was 10 hours from 8 a.m. to about 8 o'clock at night.
Ten hours.
Back to work painting the house. He said, "My dog is secure now." He tied a chain around him and the steering wheel so he couldn't jump out of the window. See,
that's
he jumped
terrible.
Right out of the window. Oh, here comes Romeo.
Ah, little Romeo.
He is a precious little, and he follows me around.
What's that voice?
He's becoming my little pal.
You know, just briefly, back to the German Shepherd. How hot a day was it when that dog was stuck in the car?
85.
Oh, really?
Monday. We could go Monday when it was 85, 86, and it was hot.
That's not fair, bro.
And that dog had a lot of fur. It was black and brown. And
sounds like you need to give dog owner lessons.
Yeah.
You know how to treat a dog.
He's like the size of a lion.
Oh, boy.
And he was black.
Scared me, and I was yanking at his collar, trying to pull him off, and somehow or another, he pushed me, and I landed in the street with a bruised arm and two black knees. At 89, I was very lucky not to have broken bones.
Yeah, it sounded like a really traumatic deal for you. And
yeah, because I could have really gotten hurt, and I looked straight in that dog's eyes, and he looked at me as if to say, I'm not going to hurt you, but I'm going to eat up your dog. Oh, God.
Oh, oh, Marie.
the man just starving. Got that dog, he said, 2 weeks earlier from the pond. So he didn't even know anything about this dog being so vicious.
Well, yeah, but again, you lock it up for 10 hours a day in a hot car. That's pretty rough. I agree with you.
Yeah, I think I'd be vicious myself.
Yeah, I can't quite picture you being that vicious, Marie, but who knows? If you were locked up in a car long enough, maybe you'd kick my ass.
I'll bet you she's vicious playing bingo, 22 yeah, cards.
Exactly. I am when I play 22 I cards.
That's great.
And I get real mad if he doesn't call my number up there.
You bribe him once in a while, you know? Side
cash. Yeah, I like to wallop that caller if he doesn't call my number. Ooh. But
what's the most you've won, Marie? What's your biggest pot in bingo?
Oh, let me see.
Ooh,
the
biggest
pot. I don't know. I think I do better at the casino. I won $400 at the casino.
No
kidding. Firekeepers.
Well,
yeah.
That's a nice pot.
Yeah, so.
A little one-armed bandits.
Anyway, I go with
paycheck?
Seniors,
right.
You know. And we go places. Seniors can't stay home anymore. They're coming out with their canes.
You're just making it happen.
And oxygen. And
hey, no better way to increase that revenue stream than by gambling. That's what I always say.
yeah. But we have our fun. You can't keep the seniors home knitting anymore.
Well,
they're
I'm glad to hear
about.
That. As long as Romeo isn't left alone too long.
What'd you say?
I said, as long as Romeo isn't left alone too long.
You want him petering on the carpet.
Yeah, we don't want to house a skank over there.
No, he's laying right here beside me on the couch.
Aww. Well, Marie, it's so nice to talk to you. I know your
we
family's
should eat
there.
Dinner together.
It's great to talk to you, and I hope things all work out well with Romeo, and you're able to train him and enjoy another many, many years as a dog owner.
Yeah, he's 8, the same as Dolly was 8. And they're... He's 10 pounds, and Dolly was 10 pounds. They're very similar.
You think they'd get along?
Think so. Yeah.
Dolly would probably dominate, though.
They might fight Dolly over your leg.
Because Dolly's a beautiful female. This is a beautiful male. So.
Yeah. Oh. Wow.
I'm sure they would have gotten along.
Well, Marie, enjoy your pot roast, and thank you again.
Oh, we should be eating dinner together.
Thank you. And what's this going to be on the radio?
It's going to be on a podcast. It's going to be on the Drew and Mike podcast.
Okay.
Okay, Marie.
Listen.
Yeah, tell the kids they'll know how to find it.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye. Oh, Romeo.
Oh, man.
What a nice home Romeo has found.
Man.
Get rid of him so fast. Ooh, no, you take Romeo. We want him back.
You know, I wondered about why would these people want to get rid of an 8-year-old Maltese? Malteses are great dogs.
Yeah.
And like piddles all over the place.
Expensive.
Oh, God.
We don't want to see him again. We love him too much. Just get him out of here and we never want to see him again.
Don't you think your dad was tired of the house smelling like urine? He's buying the new house. He's like, I'll tell you one thing right now. This house is not going to smell like you, Ryan.
Put my foot down.
Got a new house. No more. That dog goes.
Oh, God.
I hope you had a hell of a piss.
And they put on a little show for Marie about
how she was vulnerable. You know, Jesus.
It's always hard to unload a dog. I'm sure it was not easy, but it sounds to me like that the piddling issue could have been huge. Could have been huge.
Hasn't anyone ever told you you look exactly like a pile of steaming dog turd?
And that dog was barking up a storm. It did not sound unfamiliar to me at all because my dogs occasionally, once in a while, they will get on people when they come over.
God, she had a great voice, though, didn't she?
yeah, she was adorable.
I love that voice. That's terrific.
All right, so we'll take our time out in the podcast. It's Drew and Mike. Don's here. Joey's here. Jay's here. We just rocked it with 89-year-old Marie Clark, no relation to Mike. And we're back after these tunes.
Biceps are huge, right? Oh, man. Have you ever seen these muscles before? Have you ever seen so sexy of a man?
All right, and we're back on the podcast. And one vote that Donald Trump is getting that might be a surprise, Obama's half-brother Malik is voting.
Oh, Trump. No kidding.
He is pissed at his brother.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if Obama just didn't wear enough...
gear?
Garb. Enough Arabic garb.
Yeah.
Where's half-brother Malik?
Does he live in Somalia?
Yeah, he does. But he's flying into Maryland to vote for Donald Trump.
Yes. Wow, you got to love that. Let's hope they make a big deal of that.
Oh, it's quite a dig.
He was tearing his ass up, too.
He lives in a rural Kenyan village but is still registered to vote in Maryland, has no plans to follow the president's footsteps, has criticized Clinton over use of a private email servers while Secretary of State. Blame both Clinton and his half-brother for the 2011 death of Libyan dictator Colonel Muammar Gaddafi.
It's his buddy. Wow. It was his close friend, right?
He described as one of his closest friends. You got it.
Wow.
Malik even dedicated his 2012 biography to Gaddafi. Said he'd been making this world a better place. So, yes, Donald will take his vote.
He'll run with that hard, huh?
There's my girl. There's my
Barack
girl.
Hussein Obama.
Goes way back.
His middle name is Hussein.
She was right.
His middle name is Hussein.
She was right. In the end, she was right.
She was.
The crazy woman on the tractor was right. Granny.
Red, white, and blue.
Back to that story. Wasn't he just popping off about his stepbrother not too long ago?
Obama?
Yeah, remember? He was
about his own stepbrother?
Yeah, about him. Not
what do you
want to
say popping off? What do you mean?
Well, they showed that picture of him in the garb.
Oh, in the Islamic garb,
and, yeah. And he was acting like how close they were, and he did it for him.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right.
How special he was.
I wasn't sure what you meant by popping off, but no, you're absolutely right. But yeah, no, they were supposedly tight.
Oh, it doesn't sound like it.
Oh, no, not anymore.
Right.
No, he was angry. Malik told Mail Online this year, there's more famous half-brothers always at the end of a phone line if I want to talk, but Malik's embrace of militant Islam, including Hamas, a U.S.-designated terrorist organization, has seen the White House seek to distance the president from his half-brother.
Always to distance.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
Distancing Obama.
The president's half-brother has also had at least 12 wives and was accused of beating two of them. Polygamy is legal in Kenya if it's within a person's religious or cultural traditions, so that's not a problem. Yeah.
So you think that Donald will...
Nice.
Donald will accept his vote.
Yeah, definitely. Probably. Accept his endorsement.
No doubt. Couple of interesting things on the crime beat. One, this cocaine kingpin. Oh, God, where's the story? Oh, here it is. Oh, no, that's not it. Damn it.
Damn it, Jim.
This guy's really something. No, he's a Colombian. World's biggest cocaine dealer, El Loco. 35 years in New York. He'd burned off his fingerprints, had multiple plastic surgeries. I mean, he does barely resembles his previous self. What a wild story this is.
Does a good job of cleaning up.
He really busted his ass to try and escape this thing to no avail. Used acid to burn off his fingerprints, which they said is extremely painful. But this guy must be some kind of ball buster.
Jesus.
And he had a pretty nice lifestyle, too. He had homes all over the world. He had 43 cars.
Oh, my God.
No, 48 cars. They confiscated 48 cars after they took over his assets following his arrests.
Hell of a fleet.
His name is Daniel Barrera. That's kind of repetitive, isn't it? To have the same middle and last name.
Yeah, you know it.
Daniel Barrera.
Is he El Loco?
El Loco.
He's crazy.
Yeah, he's a crazy man.
Crazy.
Considered crazy. The modern-day Pablo Escobar. And Escobar, God, the Escobar story, I can never read enough about Pablo Escobar because I just can't believe this stuff really happened. You know, for example, his political adversaries are flying from Colombia to, I don't know, he has the plane shot down, kills the entire plane to get rid of this guy. Not to mention the police, when he started killing, like, family members of police who were bothering him, he intimidated so many people so brutally that eventually, when he was convicted, he was allowed to build his own prison.
Wow.
And that's when he built all the tunnels and the weapons that he could get to.
Did El Chapo learn from him?
It sounds like the same story, doesn't it?
But I think he did come, I believe.
He was pre-El Chapo, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. But when El Chapo was young, he worked for...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
No, it makes total sense.
I did.
I mean, El Chapo certainly learned well.
Oh,
What I can't get over about El Chapo is the ass that guy pulled.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, seriously, first of all, the movie star that he was contacting along with Sean Penn at the end of his freedom.
Did you read those text messages they were exchanging?
No, I didn't. I did not.
Oh, he was sweet.
Was he talking shit to her?
He was sweet talking her.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, wait. Now, was he sweet talking her or was he talking nasty to her?
How about, no, he was sweet talking her. He was going to take care of her. And,
I did see some of that. Yeah, she would have nothing to worry about.
No worries. Yeah, he did.
But
he
did you see the girl he married? Yeah. The girl he was married to was gorgeous.
A gangster.
He's an ugly guy, too. Yeah, I was like, I could not believe that chick married him. She was a knockout. She's like 23. Yeah. I mean, he's in his 50s and just gross. I don't care if he was a CEO of, Apple. He's just gross.
His support is amazing still to this day. I mean, they love him.
El Chapo?
Yeah, they do. They say government, he puts us to work.
If he was like Pablo Escobar, Pablo Escobar gave so much to the poor.
Yeah,
he built soccer fields, and he built, he did all these things for poor people. And, in those neighborhoods, he was beloved. And he ran for office eventually. Yeah. He won office. He won political office. The biggest cocaine dealer in the world won political office in Colombia.
Wild.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, yeah, El Loco.
His influence was definitely, like you said, took down planes and made all the calls.
Here's one of El Loco's houses. I mean, just an example. Nothing special, but...
What's her name list that? About 300 for that.
Yeah, not a bad palatial. Probably $1 million or so.
48 cars. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, nice cars, too. And I'm trying to figure out how did they get him?
Yeah, I was going to say, no evidence. He...
A couple houses, usually. A couple cars. Anything wrong with that? Let's see. Speaking to a Spanish translator, Bernard said he wanted the opportunity to be released from prison someday. Oh, yeah. He wants leniency to see his grandkids. I ask for my family's forgiveness for all the suffering I've caused them. According to authorities, Barrera had been one of the most prolific drug traffickers of the last 2 decades before his capture in Venezuela in 2012. Wealth of evidence collected against the cosmetically enhanced drug lord who had several plastic surgeries and tried to burn off his fingerprints with acid. We talked about that. Evidence included photographs and other documents related to the seizures of cocaine shipments off the coast of Venezuela and Florida. From 1998 to 2010, he ran cocaine manufacturing and trafficking syndicate that produced an estimated 5,000 kilograms of coke a month, resulting in more than 720 tons of cocaine being produced during the scheme. He bought raw cocaine paste from the leftist rebel group FARC and processed it in laboratories in areas controlled by a now demobilized paramilitary group, the United Self-Defense Forces of Colombia, or AUC. He'd buy the raw paste from the leftist group and processed in laboratories. Drug Empire generated tens of millions of dollars, which he laundered and protected by... God, it is such a pain in the ass when you think about to have this kind of money, because you got to launder it.
Oh, for sure.
And what a job that is. Did you see the houses that Pablo Escobar had just filled with cash? And eventually insane. They filled the pool with money, and they dug... they literally dug under the pool.
They had trenches full of cash.
Yeah. And then eventually they decided, well, why have a pool? Why don't we just fill the pool with money? Because they'd filled the under the pool space with. I mean, it was just a real pain in the ass to have that kind of money. Is a job. It's an all day job.
Wow,
sounds like a resourceful motherfucker. This guy.
Oh, I know these guys.
The way he. The way he made it happen. It's crazy.
Escobar's brother was an accountant. Fortunately for him, he's written a book, by the way, and it's not bad. He's a CPA, and he ran the empire. He ran the financial aspect of the empire, and when it came to. Finding new places to put the cash, he would buy homes in, neighborhoods that appreciated typically. It would just be places to stuff billions of dollars of cash.
That's way too much for quarter car washes, that's for sure. That's some serious.
He was arrested in Venezuela in 2012, then sent to Colombia where the U.S. pursued his extradition, where he faced 3 separate indictments in Manhattan, Brooklyn, and Miami.
It's always the U.S. Homes. If it wasn't for the U.S., these guys would just.
Oh, they would. They'd never be stopped. But they had to confiscate.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Multiple houses, ranches, a yacht, apartments, 48 cars. And he sought leniency given his client attempted to cooperate with authorities, including offering information to locate a FARC bomb maker and by encouraging other drug traffickers to surrender. But assistant U.S. attorney said authorities declined to extend any cooperation agreement. The magnitude of his violence and drug trafficking outweighed any cooperation he could provide. So, too bad.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Closer to home, the Devante Sanford murder, for which he served 9 years and was just released. He was 14 when he was convicted. And this thing always kind of stunk. It just didn't feel right. He had some, he was developmentally disabled. and he just didn't seem like the kind of guy that would shoot up a house full of people. And I know that's right. It's easy to say. He didn't seem, I mean, you can look at people and say, oh, I didn't think he'd do that, but it just didn't feel right. He had a lot of support, too, and I know a lot of murderers have a lot of support, and a lot of people say they don't do anything wrong or they didn't do anything wrong, but this guy, it was a little more than that. And then he got the Innocence Project behind him, and he was, in fact,
he was innocent.
Released. Now, they can charge him again. They have not. This is what
That's
is
bullshit.
So difficult and can make you very pissed off at some people in the criminal justice system when they refuse to acknowledge, because they never want to, you know, when they falsely convict someone, they never want to admit it.
It's all about. They just don't want to look bad and admit it. So.
I did it.
But in this case, come on.
Well, you work so hard to find these people guilty, I'm sure, you know, to admit that, you know, no, he wasn't guilty. I get it. That sucks.
What, do they take the golden star back off? Jeez.
But in this case, you know, you've got a cop who perjured himself, drew a picture of the murder scene, which Devante Sanford was told, it was alleged to have drawn himself. Only the murderer could have possibly known this, only to have him years later say, oh, yes, I did draw that. He didn't draw it. And that was some serious work that went into creativity.
But check this out, man.
Certain
judge should be like
authority.
Guilty. Peace.
So does it talk about the particular cop, about the perjury and all that? Or
absolutely. And, you know, what they did. They basically let the statute of limitations was just about to run out when all this came to light, and they essentially let it run out. You know, they could have charged him on the last day, and they didn't, and they kind of implied that, oh, you know, the timing was just so bad, you know, we would have done all this work at the last minute and cram it in there, and we just never got around to it, so too bad. But what's a lot more fascinating than any of this is Vincent Smothers, who is a professional hitman and who did give a statement explaining what exactly he did, how this crime did go down, because four people were murdered. And this guy is a badass mofo. Listen to this confession. This is from George Hunter's column in the Detroit News.
Does it make you want to be a hitman?
I have to admit it was intriguing. I don't want to murder anybody. No, and I feel terrible about what this guy did, but God, it was really, I don't know. I'm just thinking about people actually doing this. There's something kind of intriguing about it and interesting. I mean, I would never do it or encourage anyone. It's just really wild. Smothers told his alleged partner, Ernest Davis, were casing a small white house on the west side of, Runyon Street in Detroit. Vito, a hitman, had been hired by a rival drug dealer to kill the homeowner, Michael Big Mike Robinson, who sold pot. No reason was given why he wanted Robinson dead, which is kind of interesting. You know, you'd think they would give a shit. But no, he didn't care. He wants him dead. I'll kill him.
Yeah.
I'll take his money. According to affidavit, Smothers said he decided to enlist the aid of his childhood friend, Ernest Nemo Davis. I trusted Nemo with my life, and I knew Nemo was the kind of guy who would pull a trigger with no questions asked. Smothers and Davis have never been charged with the killings, although state police submitted warrants requests seeking murder charges against them. So they've been submitted. The paperwork's been submitted, but they have not been charged. In the evening of September 17th, Smothers said he parked his SUV a block away from the house on Runyon. Smothers said he and Davis set out to test Robinson's security door. They'd been casing the house for a couple weeks, by the way, so they kind of knew how people came and went. I knew trying the door would be dangerous in large part because I knew that Robinson was home, Smothers said. Smothers said he knew from weeks of surveillance the house next to Robinson's was abandoned, so he and Davis hid in the backyard until the coast was clear. Inside Robinson's house, he and four friends, D'Angelo and Noriel, Brian Dixon, Dixon's girlfriend of 6 years, Nicole Chapman, and Valerie Glover, sat in the living room watching the Washington Redskins and the Philadelphia Eagles on Monday Night Football. 7-year-old Michael Robinson Jr., little Mike, was asleep in the back bedroom. Now it was approaching 11:30 p.m. Smothers said he and Davis waited in the backyard for 5 to 10 minutes before donning ski masks and climbing the fence into Robinson's yard. As they ducked along the side of the house, Smothers could hear the football game and people inside of the house cheering. As they turned the corner to the front of the house, Smothers said he spotted through a window a man's silhouetted head and shoulders. I told Nemo, point your .45 at him in case anything went wrong. I guess he's going to stand outside and be sort of his backup on the outside. Davis trained his pistol at the silhouette while Smothers said he crouched down and crept up the two concrete steps and onto the small porch. The inner door and the storm door were closed. Smothers tested the storm door. It didn't give. As he tugged on the storm door again, Smothers said the inner door swung open. Oh, shit.
Man.
And he was face to face with an unknown man. This is not the guy he's supposed to kill. He looked down and saw me, Smother said. I could immediately see he was unarmed. He must have seen the AK-47 in my hand because he immediately twisted to his right, away from the rest of the living room. As he moved aside, I could see Robinson, the target, sitting on a large stuffed armchair just beyond the man at the front door. I could also see that there was a gun sitting on a cocktail table next to Robinson. Smother said he opened fire through the storm door at both the man with the AK, at both men with his AK-47.
Jesus.
Then he said he stepped inside and shot the others. At this time, I began to fire. Nemo shot at the male silhouette in the window. Glover told police she was sitting with her arms folded when the shooting started and was hit by bullets in the elbow and thigh. She said she crawled toward a back bedroom where Robinson's son Michael was lying, little Mike. As she dragged herself through the living room floor, she took three more bullets in her back.
Wow.
She's hit five times now. She is alive.
Sounds like a movie scene. I mean,
I know. This it does
bullets.
So sound like a movie scene, doesn't it? She made it to the rear bedroom and hid under the bed beneath little Mike. She said the shooting stopped and she heard someone enter the house. Smother said he took inventory of the scene. I could see that there were four people in the living room who were either dead or fatally wounded. Smothers told Davis he had seen someone else crawling through the house and went to investigate. On his way toward the back of the house, he took Robinson's .40 caliber pistol from the coffee table and slipped it into his waistband. So he's leaving with his gun, too. When Smothers looked in the back bedroom, he said, I saw little Mike on the bed. He was a big boy, but he appeared to be young, very young. I said something to the boy along the lines of, everything is okay, go back to bed.
Oh.
Smothers also noticed Glover hiding under the bed. When I walked into the room, she said something like, don't kill me. I told her I was not going to kill her and told her to just stay in the room until we left. Glover's story differs from that of Smothers. She testified, a masked gunman asked her, where's the shed at? I'm going to kill you. She said the assistant didn't have no bass in his voice. He just sounded like a kid. As they prepared to leave, Smother said that he and Davis searched the house and took a box containing cash and marijuana. The hitman then made sure the rifle's magazine was fully loaded, 30 rounds plus one in the chamber. Smother said he always ensured he had a full magazine before leaving a murder scene in case the police pulled up or something. Someone else began to fire at me. As the pair darted out the front door, Smother said his fears were confirmed when a neighbor across the street, the Reverend Jesse King, opened fire at them. Wow. Smothers fired back. King says Smothers fired the first shot. Nobody was hurt in the brief gunfight, and Smothers and Davis ran through a field and onto the next block, where they escaped in Smothers' SUV.
Whew.
Wow.
Man.
What a story.
Oh, my God.
Just a day in the life for Vincent Smothers. Inside the house and running, Glover said she stayed under the bed for almost 5 minutes after the shooting stopped, bleeding from five gunshot wounds. When she slid out from under the bed, she said little Mike was crying and asked her to lie in the bed with him. Instead, she ventured onto the living room where she saw her friend's body. She grabbed her cell phone, limped back to the rear bedroom at 11:55. She called 911. Then she waited with little Mike for the police.
Wow.
God.
Oh, my God.
What a...
Wow.
What's the cost to hire that guy?
I don't know what the cost is. You know, that's a great question. But he's killed, I think he'd already killed eight people before that.
He don't fuck around.
he's a hitman.
Yes, he is.
And, I mean, eight that I know of, and then these four would make 12. Plus, he shot that girl five times, and she lived. There he is. There's Vincent Smothers. Does not look like a badass guy at all.
No, I was just gonna say, not at all. He looks like a...
Wow.
Like a
6'1", 145.
Wow.
Born in 81, so he's 35 years old. Wow. He does have some marked scars and tattoos.
Wow.
Such as, oh, let's see all these tattoos. God, they list them all. There's like dozens of tattoos, and every one of them is listed. Scar chest, cut throat. Tattoo back, veto. Tattoo lower left arm, cross. Tattoo left arm, soul. Tattoo lower right arm, evil. Tattoo lower right arm, lost. Tattoo right abdomen, forever on my side. Tattoo upper left arm, D. Tattoo left arm, I, as in EYE. Tattoo left upper arm, hesitate. Tattoo upper left arm, never. Tattoo upper left arm, RIP, R-I-P,
rest
RIP.
Rest.
Oh, rest in peace, okay.
Oh.
Didn't strike me as a rest in peace kind of guy, you know?
Sure, it's not RIP Hamilton?
Could be. Could be Rip Hamilton. Good point.
Maybe he's a fan.
Tattoo upper right arm, 313.
Ooh, that 313.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a hitman, why mark yourself up like that? You know, a lot easier to get caught, right?
Exactly. Jeez. Yeah, that's what I don't understand about tattoos and criminals. Right. It doesn't make sense. Especially like on the face and the neck where everyone can see it.
I mean, now when you see, you know, a wanted sign, it's always tattoos, you know, where they are, what they are.
Yep. You got it.
Damn.
I'll run this up the flagpole with you guys because I got nowhere with Mark. The NBA has removed the All-Star game from Charlotte, North Carolina.
God. Again.
North Carolina is allowed to have no commerce, no rock concerts. Nothing can happen in that state until they have the right LGBT law, until they allow transgenders to use the bathroom they're comfortable with and they make it a law.
Get over it.
Because the way the law stands right now, the way the law would stand, and I can understand why people, I think it's not unfair to think that certain people, let's say females, would be upset at the idea of Caitlyn Jenner coming in and unleashing his hog.
No, for sure.
He's got a hog. He still has a hog.
Sure, but
Is it okay for some people to be uptight about him unleashing his big old hog in the ladies' room to take a bathroom?
Would you want your mom in there with, you know, Jenner coming in there with his cock hanging out? No.
Oh, God.
Mom doesn't want to see his big hog.
Oh, Jesus.
But, I mean, I can't believe the NBA, though. That's
well, you know, there's really good support for it, too. That's what I can't believe. Support.
Bruce Springsteen. NBA.
Jimmy Buffett.
I mean,
there's a lot. I mean, the rock concerts, it will never end. But, I mean, isn't this extortion?
It is extortion.
It's
absolutely.
Political extortion. You're not doing the right thing, and you will do it, or you'll never have another piece of revenue in your life.
That's it. When is it going to end? It's not.
I don't know. But, you know, guess what? I got news for you. Michigan is having a hard time with this law. Michigan may end up just like North Carolina, and we may not have one damn rock concert in this state. And I'm wondering, when is the rest of the assault coming? Duke basketball, the best program in the country, has lost two opponents. The Rutgers has said they will not play Duke at Duke. And there's one other opponent on the calendar, too, where the state said that all the state schools are not allowed to play in North Carolina. So they lost two games off their schedule.
So when are the state schools going to take it out?
Good question.
Imagine if
I'm
Duke,
sure
North
will.
Carolina goes to, you know, Alamo or Dallas to play, you know, I mean, where's it going to end?
Well, you know what I was thinking was, you know, Michigan and Duke typically have game scheduled in the basketball. And I'm thinking, wouldn't it be so Michigan to refuse to play at Durham? But guess what? The state of Michigan is fighting over the same law. So Michigan may be subjected to the same crap that Duke is being subjected to now.
Selfishly, it sucks. I mean, think about it. You're right. There could be no shows or minimal. Seems like all the big acts are following suit.
They are. But this is what is unfair. People who go to rock concerts are not thinking about this law.
Right.
They didn't vote on it. Right. Why is it their fault?
Right. They're being punished.
And by the way, since when is it that the world just decides what is right and what is wrong, and people who are wrong will be punished economically?
Well, let's.
I mean, this strikes me as just political correctionism gone mad.
At its finest. At its finest. That's
and I tried to make this point with Mark, but boy, was that an unsympathetic audience.
No.
That, you know, things have moved very quickly in these worlds, and some people are a little slower to catch up. And there is another side to this. This bathroom law is not as cut and dried as you think it is. And the first time we talked about it, the answer I got was, when have there been an incident in the ladies' room or men's room? And I was like, are you kidding me? When has there been an incident in the ladies' room or men's room? Have you not seen all the glory holes in these bathrooms? Have you not seen the tap twice for BJ's signs on the tile? Like I saw when I was in college, and some guy tapped twice for BJ.
Think of the economic loss by the NBA All-Star game leaving.
Oh, absolutely. It's humongous.
Huge. You're right. It's extortion. Absolutely. That's.
But for all the, nothing ever happens in bathrooms, guess what?
Bullshit.
At Target in Idaho, right?
Yeah.
In Idaho. A male dressed as a female pretending to be transgender took pictures of underage girls going to the bathroom and was arrested. And I don't know where that case stands, but obviously they're going to prosecute this. So it does happen.
It's an easy path for a freak, you know.
Of course it is.
It's tailor-made for
you got it. I mean, no, it's exactly what I thought. And I don't know why you're not even allowed to think that the other side could have even a right to feel that way. But apparently that's the way it goes now. You're not even allowed to think that, feel that, argue that. And if, by God, if you don't pass the law the way it's supposed to be passed, then you lose everything.
What do you think the percentage is if people, you know, for a poll? What percent?
I don't know. You know, I would imagine it's not that far from 50-50.
Really?
I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's probably 75-25.
In favor of transgenders using whatever bathroom they want?
Opposite.
Oh, opposite. Okay. Yeah, okay.
I do. I mean, as a parent, as a...
I think there's so much political correctionism going on right now. And I don't think this is necessarily wrong. I just think it's a little complicated, and it's not necessarily... The first pass through, you might not get the responses that you would hope for in terms of making progress for transgenders, which is not necessarily everyone's job.
But listen, I'm not picking on Jay.
A long way.
But Jay's got, you know, he's got some long hair. Throw some lipstick on and go use whatever bathroom you want, right?
Oh, if Jay wants to molest some people wants to get...
Seriously. I mean, it's that easy.
In the ladies' room? It is that easy.
Or I could do it, you know? Sure. I mean,
Hey, I'm transgender. I'm going through the process. Leave me alone. What's the problem here?
I'm thinking about it.
Lipstick?
Johnny Manziel. I'm thinking about next week switching. I'm going in that room. Going to that restroom.
Johnny Manziel, by the way. Oh, my God. I heard that he's got his drop-dead party date is like next week or something. Right. He's going to stop partying. Stop partying.
But now he's so full of himself, he thinks that, you know, he owes it to the world, you know, because... He needs to make it and, you know, be big, and he owes that to everybody. So he's gonna clean up.
Well, he's not gonna play this year.
I don't see
Who is he gonna play for this year? Nobody.
I don't think he can play this year. Can he?
We suspended for the first four games.
Is it only four?
Yeah, okay. So far. I understand arena football's all over him.
Oh, of course.
And Canadian football, I assume, would be too.
Speaking of that, the NFL is just—they're just out of hand. Did you see the who's that rookie for the Cowboys?
Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah. Now the NFL, they don't care with the authorities. They're taking it on themselves, and they're going to investigate. And it's looking like he's going to get four or six games. No matter what happens,
The DA down there isn't doing enough, they've decided they're going to say that he's guilty of this.
Yeah, they don't have to go by the law. That's what's written in. But it's getting out of hand. They think they are the law. I mean.
Well, you know, the NFL, I've long had problems with the NFL,
who they think
they are. And I think generally it was sort of a move in the right direction for the NFL to do something. But, this is dangerous territory. I mean, the guy, I read about the case. It sounds to me like the girl's a little cuckoo.
Yeah, I don't think she's going to pursue it. That's what it sounds like now.
And just in case people aren't aware of this at all, the story goes, the girl went to police and said that Ezekiel Elliott had assaulted her, and she had a couple bruises. And then she went on to say, oh, I've got bruises all over, actually. Here. And, I mean, it was literally a couple dozen bruises. She said he'd been beating her up every day for a matter of weeks, right?
Yeah, but the story kind of festered, though, correct?
Absolutely.
At first it was like a couple bruises, and then all of a sudden she was just, you know, black and blue, beat down, and
It was a little strange when she came back and said, oh, there's more to this, and he's been beating me up every day. And I think she said she was his live-in girlfriend, and he said he doesn't even live with her, that he's dated her a few times.
Yeah, it's his late-night, you know, fling. But, she is. It definitely seems a little out there.
I just thought there was more to that story.
That's it. But now the NFL, it's very apparent.
I wasn't aware. What has the NFL said? What are they doing? So he's already suspended?
No, he's not, but they've already made a statement saying, basically, we don't care what the law, what they're doing. We've got our own investigation going, and right now it's looking like he's going to be suspended.
Wow.
As of, late last week.
We'll be watching that one. That sounds like, I don't know. I've never been a fan of the NFL in the way they just think they're so big and so important and so powerful.
And that number 21 jersey is the number one sold jersey right now. So I guess that doesn't matter.
21 is number one?
Yeah. Cowboys, 21. His rookie, he's leading.
Really?
The number one jersey, yeah.
That's Ezekiel Elliott's number?
Yep,
21. I thought he was 15 at Ohio State.
21. He's 21.
Was he 21 at Ohio State?
Yep.
Wow.
21.
By the way, the Harbaugh headlines. I have never seen so many headlines for a coach.
Love
it. And there's nothing going on either. They're just practicing, basically.
It's just a shit stir.
They had media day. Yeah, there's his 21. Okay.
Did you see Vegas?
Well, the most votes are for Michigan. The most bets money. Are for Michigan.
Isn't that actually better than the odds? I mean, Vegas, they know their shit, right?
Yeah, I would say so. Well, Michigan's number two, I think, in terms of odds, but in terms of bets, they're number one.
Number
more
one.
People put their money on Michigan.
Right. Which is, to me, it's actually more powerful. They're always right.
Vegas. Yeah, Vegas is usually.
They're amazing.
I give them a lot of credit. And I saw that the Big Ten selected Jabril Peppers, Defensive Player of the Year.
Right.
And man, were there the article in the paper today, which just went on and on about this guy, Harbaugh going on and on about him, said if he played. He could play this position, that position, maybe virtually every position on the field except for in the line, and then went on to say, if he was running back, he would give our top guys a run for the money to start at running back. With almost no practice, he's that good.
Wow.
Think of the difference between when Hoke was here with him and Harbaugh.
Hoke would have never found any reason to use him at anything, in my opinion. No, it's amazing that they went 10-3 last year with... You know, what were they, 5-7 the year before? And people said, you know, if he goes 8-5, that'd be a pretty nice turnaround. They went
no
10
quarterback.
In the Michigan State game, they lost on a blocked punt in the last second.
Yeah, that shouldn't count.
Somebody at the table might disagree with you on that one.
I don't know.
Where was Mike Clark when the Michigan State football game ended last year?
Did you see that blocked field goal?
Must have been going ape shit.
I knocked my TV off my wall with the remote, literally threw the remote.
Did you?
Mike, where were you watching? You must have been going loony.
Yeah,
when Michigan State blocked that punt.
Yeah, I know. I was in my living room in my underwear.
I imagine you would have probably decided 5 minutes before that the game was over.
Oh,
and State
yeah,
was being
yeah.
subjected
oh,
to
yeah.
another defeat. But a lot of people didn't even see that play, didn't hear it. But were you watching TV still when that happened?
I have to ask Trish about that one. I may have been. Sometimes when it gets like that, I just can't take it anymore.
You would remember.
Sometimes I'll walk out and I'll let it happen and then go back and then like pop the tape. I know that sounds crazy, but I can't. I mean, listen, I watched quite a few of them go down live and sometimes I can't take it. It's like I can't watch this unfold.
It's a painful rivalry, but my God, you've been on the right side of it 7 out of the last 8 years.
I know. It sucks.
I mean, these have been great years for Michigan State. There's no argument.
Yeah.
Although they just lost their punter who
graduated
a couple years ago, Mike Sadler. Yeah. What a sad story that was.
Yeah.
Really good guy from all accounts.
Do you count that as a victory as a State fan, though? I mean, do you feel good about that?
Well, sure.
Yes, he does.
I do.
Kidding?
Hey, how about the poor guy? Remember the guy that blocked the punt? Didn't it ruin his career when he got piled on? The guy that blocked the punt and recovered it, and
he was injured. He was out for the season after that play, wasn't he?
His career's over, right?
Oh, I didn't know his career was over. Is he done?
Yeah, that's how bad it was.
There was some shit punts through the year, too.
He'll probably make a few.
What a way to end your career, though.
Actually, for him, it's probably a good thing. He'll probably make more money in the future. You know, it's not like he was going to the NFL. He was like
I doubt it.
Fourth team, you know.
What a coach, man, that Mark D'Antonio.
I'm happy. I'm a Michigan fan, but it's good to see State do well.
Oh, State's been unbelievable. And yeah, D'Antonio's been.
Yeah, I feel the same way. You know, I'm able to. Hey, man, I can sit there and appreciate the fact that if State spins out into the shit heap, that and I can enjoy Michigan win the game.
Really?
A game.
You can?
And move into the championship. Some guys can.
When did you start enjoying Michigan?
Well, I mean. No. When we're fucked, you know, because I like to at least. If State is fucked, they're not going anywhere. Then at least I can.
Which is almost never anymore. State's been
excellent. That's probably why I can take this attitude right here and now.
I would agree with you.
Yeah, probably exactly why I have this attitude.
You sound so magnanimous all of a sudden. Yeah. I'm not used to this.
I like to be able to watch a game though when there's somebody in it that Michigan.
So are you going to pile on when Harbaugh skips out of town in a couple years?
Oh,
are you going to be happy?
Ah!
Yeah, right.
You think he's leaving?
Oh, he's leaving.
What, Super Bowl?
That's going to be so fine.
He doesn't stay anywhere. Come on.
God.
You know the Michigan fans are going to just.
Oh, they're going to lose it.
It's going to be even better media-wise than it is now.
Anybody don't lick that guy's butt crack anymore? God damn.
I just saw.
You see the guy that walked here from New Jersey, I think it was, for the foundation. He gave him an autographed pair of
khakis.
No, Harbaugh is always doing the right thing at the right time in the right place. He's a really special person. He just is. No, I mean, you can. I hear people trying to shit on him. It just doesn't work. He's a great guy.
He makes it happen.
He's a cool cat.
Oh,
I really love the guy.
Definition of a winner, no doubt.
And I just saw him talking about Michigan and how long he's going to be at Michigan, and he made it sound like literally till he dies, and he was suggesting, like, I just hope my health is good so I can do this for a long, long, long time. But it didn't sound like he is going anywhere, anytime. This
A guy like that goes that hard.
I'm inclined to agree with you. I just think if Michigan wins a national championship, that might be what opens the door to him. If Michigan is like struggling with getting in the championship Final Four, and if they can't quite get the job done,
oh, you think he'll bail because of
I think it'll be harder for him to bail without a national championship.
I agree, no doubt. I
if
guess
a national championship. I think he could the Super Bowl that his brother won could become more important.
Yeah, for sure. Kind of like wrestling when they're. What's his relationship with Nick Saban? That's what counts for me.
Jimmy Harbaugh's?
Yeah, if he's going to go after Saban's modern day championship record, you know.
Well, that's if things go that well, that's another way to have extreme success too. But he was in the Super Bowl. He lost. He was at the precipice, and he didn't get it. And I have to believe that burns him.
Oh, it's like the hot chick. He's got to get it. You know.
Yeah. He's got that.
By the way, isn't he having another kid?
Yeah, his wife's pregnant. That's true. Man. I think that's true.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes, it is true. Absolutely. We talked about that. Michael Hutchence documentary coming out. I love documentaries. We talked about five of them yesterday. Five documentaries I've watched in the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 days. The Bartman one, which I'd already seen. You've probably seen the Bartman documentary.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
it's incredible. I couldn't get over yesterday. I know we already kicked this around a little bit, but I can't believe that Gonzalez, the shortstop, didn't take all the shit away from Bartman when he bungled that double play ball. The next hitter. They could have gotten out of that thing with a score 3-1, and he a two-hop ball. He booted the damn thing, and they got nothing. They should have had a double play and should have been out of the inning.
Right.
How does he get off? Why didn't they run him out of town?
The whole story, though, the asshole fan. I mean, it's like scripted. It's perfect. I don't know. It
makes me feel so dumb about Cubs fans, and I am a Cub fan. Just the way the fans acted and the way a lot of them continue to act, I just feel like, that's so stupid. He's a fan. There were five other people trying to catch the ball he tried to catch.
It would have been somebody else, for sure. Right.
And the shortstop booted a ball 2 plays later that would have got him out of the inning. How can you let him off the hook and not Bartman? But anyway, that's a classic documentary. And then the one about Greg Louganis. Louganis, as Mike Clark frequently calls him.
Yeah.
I cannot hear the name Louganis without thinking of Mike Clark calling him Greg Louganis.
Yeah, I appreciated that text, by the way. I give me the credit on that.
And, of course, that's we understand that's politically incorrect in today's days, but it was back 20 years ago when Mike used
that's
to say
right. That's right. It was a very popular way to look at him.
I'm unable to forget it.
That's right. That's the way it is.
That's a really good That's a really good documentary, by the way.
He can actually kiss you with his butthole.
No. And then there was the James Foley one, which you saw that, the Jim Foley documentary.
I kind of hammed it up a little bit to get you to watch it.
You liked it, though, didn't you?
It was different. It really gave you it was mind-blowing, actually. Like, just the way, like, you always think, or you don't think, but the guy was a prisoner for ISIS, for Christ's sake. You know,
he was a prisoner before that, too.
Oh, yeah,
and that's what
I didn't know all that.
Like, no, I didn't know that either.
Right. But I guess they beat the living shit out of him more than anybody.
Did they really?
I mean, him and
ISIS
only him.
Did?
Yeah, they really.
Why did they beat the shit out of him?
The Beatles, they call them, those guards, you know, because every other, there's like Dutch guys.
I have not watched the last 40 minutes of it.
Okay,
so, what?
Well, because as an American, you can't negotiate. They wanted money. And they knew they were not.
He was a conflict journalist, which means he was on the front line of wars, basically, in the Middle East from 2010 to around 2013. He was kidnapped once by Syria, right?
They're still not sure. Either the regime or,
I mean, the first kidnapping, the first one.
Correct. And they kept trading him off or selling him off.
And he was let go.
Right.
And then he went right back to conflict journalism, and wouldn't you know it, ISIS kidnapped him. And I didn't realize he had the shit beat out of him by ISIS.
Oh,
did they describe how bad it was or wasn't?
Yeah.
I mean, did it knock his teeth out
and
stuff?
I guess they pummeled him. But
they knew, like, the Italians were going to pay a ransom. So everybody knew he was never really going to get out. So, like, these prisoners would come and go, you know.
But why could he never get out? Why could
Because American, you're not allowed to negotiate, you know. Okay. So, did you see that board game they made up?
No. Oh, yeah. Yes, I did. In prison?
Did you didn't see
their
the
game
end?
Of how, Risk? Oh,
yeah, how it ended. You haven't seen
no, how did it
months.
End? No. What happened?
One of the Beatles, you know,
the bugs?
It was their ISIS guys.
Oh.
You know, that was their nickname.
Right.
Anyway, they got a hold of it, and it was sad. It kind of reminded me of Wilson. Tom Hanks, almost like they really loved that.
Oh, Tom Hanks losing Wilson.
Yeah, Wilson, yeah, they were just because every time the guards would come in, they'd say, hide the game. That's all they were concerned about.
This little ratty piece of paper with a few markings on it and you know, a few game pieces, and it was like a game of Risk.
It was, right. I guess they got into such, you know, I mean, they're sitting in a dark room for a year, you know, but I guess they got in some heated
games.
And
funny how you can do
that
yourself.
And the guards were coming, and, like, some of the guys were like, no, I own all of Africa, you know, they're competing, you know, and they didn't want to.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, what a sad.
Anyway.
It's what happened to the human mind, you know?
Yeah, how those people survived.
It's the Tigers' fault. Well said.
That was a great movie, too, with Tom Hanks and Wilson. That was
that
great.
Plane crash scene is one of the best plane crash scenes you could ever see.
Oh, bar none. Oh, man. Oh, wow. You know it. Wow.
Can you please talk about the fake note from Robbie's I didn't see it. Last night?
Oh, let's see. Robbie Hayes.
May have impressed JoJo Fletcher enough to make her final two, but Twitter's not feeling the former pro swimmer. Putting aside the rumors, he dumped his ex-girlfriend and joined Bachelor 2016. Last night's fantasy suite spurred some drama. I only caught the last 40 minutes of The Bachelor. I effed up and didn't record it, which is a terrible mistake. I can watch it on demand tonight, I guess. So let's see. What are they pissed about? Oh, drama on social media that related to two things. The note from his dad.
Time out. Talk with the cold, please. You're going to talk about this.
And his shellacked hair. Bachelor's Robbie proved it a lot. Once again, let's deal with the note first, shall we? During Robbie's overnight date with JoJo, he handed her a handwritten note he claimed his father wrote and stuck into the back pocket of his uber-tight jeans.
No.
The yellow paper read, Robbie, I can tell you really love JoJo. Do not get down about all this negative surrounding your past relationship. Stick to your plan. And everything will work out. You are the bad. I love you, Dad. Well, we could totally use Coach Hayes, as the family calls it, bring up his son's past relationship like that. Well, we could totally see Coach Hayes, as the family calls it, bring up his son's past relationship like that, as he did fight with his ex, Hope Higginbotham, online. Bachelor Nation wasn't buying it. From calling out the odd, you're the bad phrasing, to even suggesting a bachelorette intern wrote the note 5 minutes before cameras started rolling, there was a lot of doubt going the Floridian's way. We all agree Robbie wrote this You're the Bad note to Robbie, right? The Bachelorette. Andrea so-and-so. Oh, please, Robbie, you know you wrote that note to yourself. Me when Robbie weaseled his way into the family suite with a fake note. Wait, also my grandmother was on her deathbed and she wrote a quick note about you before she died. Robbie definitely wrote this note. I wonder how long Robbie spent writing that fake note from his dad. Cut to an intern scribbling that note from Robbie's dad 5 minutes before the camera started rolling. Yeah, it's he's really taking a lot of shit for that. I got to see that. It wouldn't be the first fake note we've seen on The Bachelorette before, by the way.
Yeah, right.
How did Robbie's hair not move more overnight? Oh, Robbie, I guess Robbie had a nice stay in the Bachelor's suite. Or the, what do they call it? The fantasy suite. She dumped one of the guys from the fantasy suite. She agreed to go to the fantasy suite with one of the bachelors. And then when they got there and he told her that he loved her, she said that she regretted that she could not tell him that she loved him and did not think she would be able to next week. And therefore, she booted him out. And he said it was like taking him to the bachelor, the fantasy suite, pulling his pants down and kicking him in the testicles. And actually, it was quite like that because the van was waiting for him outside and he bolted.
See,
he left in tears.
You got some big testicles to pull this off, bro.
With some comment about how if he hadn't told her that he loved her, he would be making love to her at that very moment. When I say moment, I mean moment. M-O-M-E-N-T. Moment. Bobant.
Yeah.
Feb it a bad with a cold. I love that show. Call me whatever you want. I don't care. It's been really funny. And I know tonight they have The Bachelor's Return, where they all...
It'll be a brawl.
Yeah, because Chad's back.
Oh, yeah,
Chad.
Yeah.
I'm so pumped to see Chad.
Ever since when he left, it was kind of just...
I agree. It's not been quite the same.
Although what, Jordan, no? Is you gay or something?
The Jordan Rogers element's been pretty strong, and he's going the distance. He's definitely in the final two. I know he is. Yeah, he is from last night, because the other guy bolted, so he's one of the final two. And she's obsessed with Aaron Rodgers. She asked every family member about the Aaron Rodgers estrangement from the family, so clearly... it means a ton to her to get to know Aaron Rodgers.
So that's where your money's going.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. And I guess that's about it. Anything else, guys? Anything on your mind we didn't discuss from the DNC or anything like that?
I'm just shocked to see the ratings outperformed.
Oh, yeah.
Outperformed.
They killed the Republican convention, didn't they?
Yeah. I mean, that's shocking.
Did they do 40 million people?
I don't.
I didn't see the numbers. I know the Republican, the RNC, did about 32, so they must have done 40 or so if they beat the Republicans.
I think they said 12% they beat it by. So
okay, so that's at least 35.
Yeah.
And they've got, you know, Thursday coming up when she gives her speech. That'll be the biggest night, although Bill Clinton speaks tonight.
Nobody was... Bernie? Was it all Bernie?
Yeah, Bernie would have been the biggest thing.
It's shocking.
Bernie does have a ton of support.
Yeah.
So if you were a Bernie lover... that's a big chunk of the country.
And it was 25 to 54? That was like the meat and potatoes.
And
that's right on par. God, Bernie could really turn this thing upside down. I wish he would.
Oh, Bernie could have made it much more interesting.
It's not over.
If you've been a Cruzian dick. But
well, they're making a big deal about the roll call tonight, so we'll see what happens.
Why? You think the Bernie people will make it, will they do something screwy?
They were
talking shit, weren't they? Yeah, it's funny how unusual where the candidate himself basically says, okay, I'm going to let it go. Although that was a big deal. To think that the DNC, that the deal was rigged.
Scripted.
It was rigged.
Totally. Yeah, I mean,
and I saw Elizabeth Warren give a speech talking about how the system is rigged. She was referring to the fact that people who make more money keep making more money,
It has nothing to...
Well, her point was that the system's rigged. And when she said the system's rigged, I was like, wow, that's a poor choice of words, honey, on the basis of what's going on at the DNC. Oh, the Bachelorette did 6.6 million. What did the DNC do? Oh, they didn't do as much as the Bachelorette.
Get out.
They didn't. 4.17, 3.78, 2.59. Bachelorette's only on for an hour, so it's a little hard to compare them side by side. But the fact that he beat the RNC is, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
That's got to piss Trump off.
I'm sure it does. Trump usually is a big ratings hound.
For sure.
I mean, he's a draw wherever he goes. You know, God, look at this. Harbaugh even got a headline in USA Today Sports today.
Oh, yeah, he's everywhere,
It's unbelievable the attention this guy gets. Yeah, Arnoldus Chapman.
You do like Harbaugh?
I do. I like him. I do. I dig him, man. Just like I said, I like his passion. I like his...
I mean, look at his NFL career. He was not a very talented quarterback. He's just his will, you know. He's just... The guy is insane.
Well, that's what I like about him. You know, you can talk about the system being rigged all you want, but a Jim Harbaugh is going to be a success in any America that you can put in front of me.
That's a guy who is going to
cut through all the bullshit. And this idea that the system is rigged against so many people that people have no chance to achieve the American dream, I don't believe that.
Right.
No, I don't even like the guy.
If you want it, if you're willing to work for it, I think you can have it. They make it sound like that's not true anymore. I don't believe that.
You're right. Look at Harbaugh. He's doing it.
And I know a lot of people say,
he was
born in a family that had success, and his father was a coach at University of Michigan, so he had an easy route, and he was talented, and blah, blah, blah. Well, he's been successful at every single thing he's done. He's one of the most successful coaches out there, and he does it with extremely hard work and a steel will.
Tireless.
You know, maybe he's not the best example of somebody achieving the American dream because he is such an incredible talent, and he's a guy who has so much passion. But I can't say
talent. It's more hard work, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, Will.
You're right.
I mean, look at him as a player. Even he wasn't fast. He didn't have a big arm. He just
no. But he almost got the Indianapolis Colts in the in the Super Bowl that one year because his sheer force of will, if you ask me.
Right.
Hey, you two should get a room, you know?
No, he's tailor-made for college, though. You know, try to impose that will on a guy making $15, $20 million a year, it don't jive. So.
Well, he did take San Francisco to the Super Bowl, so it worked on some level. Probably not as well as it would work in college. But, I didn't like all that talk about, and I didn't even understand all that talk about how no one can reach the American dream anymore. Obama's been the president for 8 years. What? Do something in those 8 years that maybe would help people that want to achieve the American dream?
Fuck.
Whose fault?
I agree.
I mean, seems to me if you're the man at the top, you have to take some responsibility for that. But, hey, his half-brother's not voting for him, so that should tell you something.
I agree.
Malik Obama, as we talked about earlier.
Cracks me up. He was good friends with Gaddafi.
I know that was. I wasn't expecting that to be the reason. So anyway, yeah, great point about the crowd, about the incredible audience they had for the DNC. They really, and Sarah Silverman, she really excoriated those Bernie people, didn't she?
She is.
Did you see how pissed Susan Sarandon was?
Good.
Did you see the clip of her?
Yeah, for sure.
Now, was she pissed at the Bernie followers? Is that what she was pissed at?
Because
I didn't have any context for what that was. I just saw it.
I thought it was opposite. I thought she was irritated.
Oh, she's a Bernie lover.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. For sure.
Like I said, all I saw was and a very upset Susan Sarandon. And
just
you
like
see
the rest
picture
of Hollywood. It's hardcore.
Well, let me tell you something about Hollywood. If Hollywood continues to line up the way they are for the DNC... And it appears that all of Hollywood, you see actor and actress, one after the other after the other, they will hurt the Democratic effort. They should be very careful about how many people. Yeah, I do.
Really?
I think when people feel like Hollywood's telling them what to do, I think they rebel against it.
Well, look at Obama. Remember they all supported the shit out of him in his first term. Remember?
Yeah, there were a lot. I agree. But I think it can have a boomerang effect. I mean, Obama was just going to win. He just was.
Yeah, he was.
Once Romney came with that 47%, I think it was over. I really do. I think that was a big turning point in that election.
He fumbled.
Not that
he
was likely to win anyway.
He was a stiff.
Or McCain. McCain wasn't going to beat Obama.
Bigger stiff.
What'd you call him?
Stiff.
Bigger stiff, is that what you said?
Stuff shirt, yeah.
As in keep it stiff. Which we need to bring back.
You might have to get going here. Isn't your show coming on here? Or already came
We should boogie. Was there anything else besides besides the DNC numbers? Anything else we forgot? No?
I'm sure there's something.
I'm sure there is too, but we're good.
We got a couple more days. You got Mark tomorrow.
We got Mark tomorrow.
Charlie coming Friday?
Charlie's gonna be here Friday. Mike Clark again on Thursday.
Yeah, man.
And I don't know what else we have going on besides that, but that's enough of a lineup to get us through the week.
Are you pissed I took your parking spot?
Oh, hell no.
Oh, okay. I thought that's why you were... Okay.
The world is my parking spot.
We all bow down to Mike Clark and we move
Drew's
out.
Drew's like, get out, move your car.
Yeah.
Move out of the driveway. We don't want Mike having to walk too many steps on his bum knee.
I know it. The world is my parking spot. The world is my parking spot.
Yes, Mike Clark does enjoy some privilege.
Did you clean up the side of your driveway there? Did you get all those twigs?
I did not.
So Mike didn't.
No, I could have done a better job of that.
Yeah.
There's some
tall
weeds.
The stairs going down.
My apologies.
Are you still dating Clark?
We did sweep the stairs for you.
I know you did.
Some animal got into the concrete over there, and in its digging, there was like, it looked like 2 inches of sand on the stair.
That big rat?
What the fuck is it? Yeah, like a big fucking rat.
You need a cat.
There. You're right. I do.
You do.
I need something.
There'll be no critters.
Well, we had the rat. The rat thing was done. And
maybe you can teach it how
to clean
windows.
Outside the goddamn house now.
Maybe you can. Maybe the birds will stay away so they don't shit on your porch and...
I don't know about the birds. That rat, though, will likely not be hearing from again because Rob put some poison in the hole. So on its way out, it's going to want a little snack.
The whole kingdom is poison.
This one is poison. I don't know how much of a kingdom is left. I hope. God, I hate fucking rats. Oh, I hate them.
Oh,
are they gross?
God, they're gross.
Especially when they leave their feces on your pillow.
Oh,
bring that up, please. I know that was a low moment when I was searching the house. I'd been out of the house for about 4 days. It's like, oh my God, rats have been here. I saw the rat feces. I'm like, and we've been fighting the rats for a couple weeks. And so I started following the feast, the rat feces.
Oh.
I was like, oh, God. They've been upstairs.
Was it in the pizza box?
Rat feces on the stairs. No, not in the pizza box. But there's rat feces on the stairs. So I knew they were upstairs. So they had to go upstairs. And then I found more rat feces upstairs. And then I found some in the bedroom.
What was up there?
Oh, my God. This was downstairs in my bedroom.
Okay.
And then it's like, no, they didn't get on the bed, did they? I went under the pillow.
They
rat feces under the pillow! They were on my fucking bed!
They wanted you out. They wanted you out. They wanted their home back.
Yep, they wanted my fucking bedroom, but no!
Oh, man.
They didn't like the sticky paper.
So did Rob feel bad about terminating the rat? Or
no, Rob didn't feel bad at all.
Oh, okay. All right. Rob's a good guy.
I can't say. I actually did. It was pretty gross, and it kind of bummed me out a little bit.
Did you watch it?
I didn't watch
shovel
it.
Shovel to the top of the head?
I couldn't stand to look at it, to be honest, but...
Okay.
Three of them. That sticky paper is pretty powerful stuff.
If their droppings were in my pillow, I would. There would be no.
Yeah, there's not much. Yeah. There's not much in the way of.
Get it?
Shall we say political correctness in terms of terminating the problem when rat feces are under your pillow? It's all hands on deck.
Sorry, PETA.
So
scum, slime,
anyway,
menace to the industry.
Hey, the program we used was nothing illegal about it. We purchased it at.
The local
Home Depot.
Hardware. Oh,
okay. Yeah, so there's nothing illegal done. Actually, it's something. Yeah. Originally, what we tried to get them to eat was this stuff that dehydrates them and makes them leave the house to get hydrated.
But these were well-fed rats, it sounds like.
I guess so, yeah.
Wow.
Apparently, they were well-fed
enough.
It
didn't work?
No, that did not work. But a couple of things worked. See, Spears to be over until I saw the goddamn.
Hey, whatever happened to the old school snap trap? You know, they don't make those anymore.
Those are still around.
Yeah, they are out there. Yeah, they are.
Pillow, that's what I'd have.
Yeah,
they are.
Well,
out there.
That was on the list.
Sure,
that was on the list of potential things.
Yeah, boy, does it snap your neck too?
Whoa. Yes, it does.
Yeah,
it has.
I can drop one out for me one day.
You don't know what
you
said
in there. You heard that thing go. You know,
but that might be one of the more humane ways of doing it. I mean, it's over just like that.
Yeah, but don't you feel bad dangling a piece of cheese?
For a second,
you know,
yeah, for a second.
Up and pow.
Well, when you have rats in your house, you don't feel as bad.
No, I guess. Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, everybody have a great night. We'll see you. Mark's back tomorrow. And I guess we'll see you.
See ya. Hey,